With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And let's see, the first thing on the agenda is to approve it, so I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda. How's that look to everybody? You okay? Anybody
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Quaiston. So we have a motion to approve the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second
from Mr. Andrews. So all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The agenda is approved. Okay, we have the minutes from the last meeting. The attachments to them are online. I didn't bother to print them because they were basically the set of slides from BKV and that jail program that we approved. And those are separate links on the website. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes from June 12th. So I have a motion from Commissioner McElhaney. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Quaiston. So all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. So minutes are approved. Okay, and then with that, we'll get started with number three, which is a bit of feedback on the public presentation. Bruce, do you want to talk about that a little bit, or do you want me to?
I didn't really kind of put the bullets together.
Okay.
I thought we, as a group, kind of talked about what we heard a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
That's what I pulled out. So okay. The truth was kind of what the notes I have on that.
Okay.
I mean, all in all, I think it went very, very well, the impact that we had compared to other
yeah.
other public meetings we've been involved with.
Yeah. Recording. That's working. Okay. Yeah, one thing, that was a great idea having David J. Law moderate, and so and for the next one, Mike Tanner agreed to moderate the next one. So, I was counting 40 to 50 people, so that's a decent turnout. And I guess a couple of the questions we got, I thought were what we expected, except for the one that said, "Are you sure you're not building too small?" That was
the first challenge, actually.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. But and the question I didn't get, but I put it as a FAQ on the website because I know what the question's out there. I don't think anybody actually asked, why are we doing this even when the vote failed in November 2014? And that's a question of, you know, we got a law that tells us to address a problem that's still there. And so, and for those of you who don't know, I put four of the main questions on the website with answers. So if you want to take a look at that, as I have time, I'll try to add a few more to those. And then the full recording of that Q&A session is out there on the website, too. So anybody else have any observations about that from the committee?
Was there anything that was surprising, I guess, to anybody?
I didn't hear too much negative. I mean, there was one person that, you know, people obviously aren't excited about taxes going up. I mean, nobody is. But I think that one of the key points that, you know, we learned from guys like you is that, you know, as you're answering questions, you don't be defensive about it. It's, you know, people have questions, and so it's a legitimate thing. So
yeah, everybody has a good question. I mean, everybody really does. It's trying to put the information out there clear enough to help show why one option is mm-hmm. better than another option. I don't think I heard a lot of questions of why are we even doing this. I don't think I heard that much.
I didn't.
I heard questions about other counties. What's the involvement of
yeah.
other counties
yeah.
potentially in there? We talked about, you know, I think we talked about some of the options about, you know, the utilization of the existing jail and ankle bracelets and alternatives a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, like you said, you've got a lot of good information on there. So we didn't hear anything. It was a showstopper where there was no understanding at all. I think
yeah.
all in all,
yeah.
fairly well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, okay. Okay. Well, if nobody has any other comments, if you think of something, we have a little time at the open if we have time at the end. So, okay. Do you want to? So, the main thing we're here to do is to go through the. We're honing in on these construction options. So, we got a bit more resolution on some of the construction options. And so,
And in a planning process like this, so everybody's clear, and I'll talk to Leo about it a little bit more too, so the public understands this also, but in a planning study, it's a 50,000-foot view. You're looking at the big picture. You're looking at where's the best place to potentially put it, how big should it be, and generally will it fit, and how might it lay out of it. It's not floor plans. It's not developing it to the level of detail that you're saying, oh, this is what we're building. This is how it's going to lay out. It's not to that level of detail. In a study like this, it's conceptual planning. So that's what you're going to see. These conceptual plans make sure that the program area that we've agreed to is met and can be accommodated, and then expansion and some of these other things. So again, there's a different level of detail, because once a project proceeds forward, then it's sitting down with the various departments and saying, okay, what space needs to be where, what space needs to have what next to it. What space needs to have what? So there's a lot of time and a lot of effort that goes into developing a floor plan that works for various operations. Mm-hmm. It's not about us going back and drawing stuff up and saying, oh, this works. We have that experience. We understand how things operate, but we work it through with each client, because we're a very short stint in the entire history of the building. We help to get it started. We help to get it laid out and orchestrated. But really, the county lives with that building for 50 years or more beyond. So, again, it's making sure that that lays out. So when we do these conceptual studies, it's broad brush. How will it lay out? Will it fit? So anyway, with that, not to belabor too much. And if anybody's got any questions, this has been a great group. We've enjoyed working with all of you. We enjoy this feedback. We enjoy this conversation about it, because at the end of the day, the more feedback, the more input we get, ultimately makes a better facility for you. So we're down to four sites based on where we've kind of narrowed it down from what we're at, 15, 16 initially, down to where we are now.
Can I just ask one question on the concept? So for everybody to clarify, I think for those of us that aren't architects and contractors, conceptual plans are not blueprints. No. And that's actually a lot of work, and we're going to see that later in the...
Oh, I'll pull you up a set. If you want to see a set of final documents, I'll be glad to pull you up
That's okay, but just, I know you're going to talk about the time it takes. I mean, this band don't play for free kind of thing. It's not...
It's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
It's okay. A lot of detail. Okay. You know, to
go into that. Okay, all right.
So, where we are is really four sites with eight options. And the four sites are the City Auditorium Block, the County Highway Department site, West 212, and the Courthouse Block. And as we go into each one, you'll see the variations of it, and the level of kind of program that we've addressed in each. So you can see in the diagrams, you know, you all know where they are around town. You know where Courthouse Block is, you know where the food shops are. I mean, the highway shop's about 1.9 miles from the courthouse site. The 212 site, I think, is about 2.5, whatever, away from the downtown core site. 2.something miles. Can I get some milk? I just want to wake up. Thank you, sir. Taking this out of my suit.
Those are shot glasses for the trail mix, not... I'm sorry, that wasn't.
So, we went through this, you know, some of this is data. You all have seen it. I don't want to be too redundant in information we go over. But again, we like to have it in there because you all are getting good familiarity with a lot of this. The public and the people see it. So, the first sheet describes the site, the auditorium site. The overall site, the area of the site is roughly 3 acres, 122,000 square feet, zone C1. In the city, in Watertown, there's no setback requirements. It's basically considered a central business district down there. The building height limitation is 50 feet, and it's county owned.
No, city. This one's city owned.
City owned.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So well, and we say in the information county owned. So it's a city owned property, of course. So it says no next to it.
One thing about the parking.
Parking's exempt. Anything in the downtown core area is exempt. In this zone, in the C1 district, is exempt, which means you're not required to have on-site parking. When they say exempt from parking, there's a lot of types of businesses where if you're going to build, You've got to make sure you provide parking. That's something to discuss tonight. Not that the parking demand goes away. The city doesn't push you to provide it. It's a discussion point. Mm-hmm. Because if there's no parking spaces nearby, it still becomes an inconvenience to the citizens using the facility. So, this is the auditorium site. You're all familiar with it. This is option on site one. It is option A. And you'll see on the right-hand side, we've listed a series of goals. And these goals derive from all of your initial mission statement and site requirements that talked about these. So I'm going to go through these, and we're going to talk about how well each one of these sites satisfy this criteria. So you can see in the layout of this, in this plan, I think we've got about 21,000 square feet. Is that what it says here?
Yep, 25.
25,000 square feet is what's in the auditorium as it is. There's just some remodeling that has occurred. Of course, it's not set up to the sheriff's operations to move in there, but in sense, it's got enough square footage to support the roughly 16,000 square feet or so of sheriff's operations required here. The garage has got to be built separately because you can't make that work within the building the way it is. So the garage for the sheriff's operation is a separate element. So this is remodeled for sheriff's operations. A new entrance is created here into this building. And when we say jail operations here, so jail operations is the booking, it's laundry, it's food service, it's property storage, it's jail administration, it's a number of operational areas that are in the program that are identified. But that's jail operations. Jail housing, which is the 120 beds we've been talking about, expandable to 32 more?
Yeah, 32
additional. The jail housing element is kind of further to the north. So this is all housing, and we're indicating here that this could be expanded, that this could be another two pods to get that additional 32-bed unit in the future. So again, one of the criteria was expandability, long-term expandability. Basically, this is a one-story structure, in essence. You got a mezzanine above this, which is typical jail construction, one level with a mezzanine above. But this is basically one-level construction. This is basically two-level construction. The site that's identified, right now, the information we got identifies the entire site, even though we're kind of showing half of the block. The criteria, again, it'll go over each one. So first one is, does it meet the 20-year program requirements? So the courts program prepared by National Center State Courts, the jail program that we worked with you all on, are all based on a 20-year projection. So this option can satisfy that 20-year projection. Does it allow for future expansion? Yes, we're showing how it could do there. And you could do other expansion on this site as well to accommodate other needs. Does it preserve the historic facade of the courthouse? We're really not touching it. We will talk about it. In all of these options, we are doing, wherever we're using the existing courthouse for courts operations, we're showing a secured courts entrance attached to it. So you'll see that in some of the other diagrams. So it doesn't touch the front facade or the rotunda, the historic elements. Does it maintain, so those are all, those three are yes. Does it maintain the existing jail and the sheriff's facility? No, it doesn't do that. We're, in this option, they're somewhat being discarded, it could be used for some portions potentially, but in this option, for operational efficiency, everything is here. Does this require temporary relocation of inmates and jail staff? So we think that item will go away. If you had to house out, just so everybody knows, we're right around, 60-some inmates or whatever, 60 to 70 inmates, plus or minus, depending upon the peak. Housing inmates, and this has been done in some other counties, where if they're remodeling or doing whatever, they'll house their inmates out during construction because they'll allow construction to occur and then bring their inmates back. There is no local county that can house all of your inmates. So that is not an option that's even viable on the table. Housing inmates out of county at 70 inmates at $60 a day, that's $4,200 a day to house an inmate somewhere else. And you do, or I'm sorry, $4,200 for 70 inmates. So if you do that for 365 days a year, it's a large amount of money. You'd be paying $2 to $3 million to house all your inmates for a year to year and a half in some other county somewhere. It's just not a viable solution. So all the options that we're going to do are going to look at. So I'm just letting you know right now that item five requires temporary relocation of inmates. That's going to be struck. We're going to take that off the list altogether.
Very good.
I don't think it applies, and we wouldn't be doing you justice in that kind of planning aspect. So that's going to go away. Jail operations on one level. So in some of the options, because of the limited site, that jail operations I talked about, that booking, that intake, that laundry, that food service, the jail administration offices, the program space required for jail, that jail operations area in some plans is on a lower level or a main level, and the jail housing units are on a second level. What that does is, if you're standing down the hall from somebody and somebody yells for help, you're right there. You can get to them pretty quickly. If they're on another floor, it's taking you longer to get to them and help them. So in American correctional standards, now I could talk this a little bit more too, when you suddenly have a multi-story type jail facility, which is moving them to different levels, it requires additional staff to operate. So any of the ones that are two stories is additional impact. So on that item where we say where it's operational one level, that has a staffing impact. That'll have an operational impact. So in this facility, it says no. It's yes.
Jail operations.
Sorry.
It says yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jail operations is yes. Okay, so court operations, and neither of the judges are here tonight, unfortunately. Courts operation is a little bit similar in certain aspects too, even though we have seen it on multiple levels. But again, there's a certain flow, an efficiency of flow, when clerk of courts and all those folks are on one level together. Anyway, in this one, because of the way it's being split in multiple buildings, it's a no. Courts operation in one building, again, we're now having an in-custody courtroom in this facility and courts across the street at the main court facility.
What does that mean, in custody?
So in custody. So you have an inmate that you need to take to court, and instead of a tunnel or instead of putting him in a car and moving him or whatever, you basically go up an elevator into a in-custody or secured courtroom or a courtroom that can be used for multiple things, but it's adjacent to the jail. So now instead of in North or in South Dakota, you can do a video arraignment, which allows a judge to communicate with the attorney, with the inmate, without being present in front of him, which a lot of states don't allow. So that allows, again, you're minimizing that inmate movement. And it's not so much the inmate, let's be clear about this. It's the staffing impact of moving that inmate. That's the cost. That's the operational impact. Not moving the inmate. That's a security issue. It does have some risk always associated with it. It's more the staff time of moving that inmate back and forth. So by the state allowing video arraignment, there's some efficiency there. However, there are some cases, and the sheriff will probably talk to that too, or there's some situations where the defense attorney could demand it or require them to be in front of the judge. This allows for quick movement to those courtrooms. Also, another thing you all learned probably when you went through the National Center of State Courts analysis is there's three zones of movement in a good quality judicial facility. There's the public, there's the secured staff, and there's inmates. You typically never want those paths to cross. That creates issues and risk and concerns, so you want those three paths to be separate in a good judicial facility. In this facility, the inmates are in their housing unit, they go up to a secure holding area, they never go into any public or staff secured separation, so you're able to keep that all separate.
Yeah. So, sure, if I'm not mistaken, our judges do the best they can with using the video arraignment.
I caution the use of the word arraignment, because preliminary or initial appearance is done by ITV. Arraignment, the judges are recently moving to that being optional, but it's there's still many cases where it's personal appearance required in the courtroom, and for sure for motions hearings, preliminary hearings, it's highly likely that they're going to be in court, required to be in the courtroom, and for sure in a sentencing hearing. And then there are also other hearings. There are A&N hearings, abuse and neglect hearings with children involved if the parent's in custody, and those hearings are going on, and those are all typically in court appearance required. So there are, just like you'd said, while we're utilizing it with the judicial as much as possible, there's still a lot of court transport.
I do identify on there. So some of the other to run through this too is then construction can be phased if needed. You know, yes, that could occur. Again, if it's needed, if you wanted to break the facility down and do part of it, and then you know you build on the jail and jail operations, and then courts, you know, the sheriff comes in later. You know, that there's possibility to do that. Not that I'm saying that phasing is the ideal, but there is opportunity for phasing if you ever wanted to do that. Maintains close proximity to existing courthouse. Again, I think being in that downtown core was one of your, being in this area was one of your objectives as well. We did add provides on-site parking because some don't, some do. So in this one, the question is, if this entire block is borrowed and if some of these buildings were demolished, it could provide parking. Question that we don't know, and we'll talk about that more with the pricing, with the estimates later, is we don't know the cost of all this yet. We don't know if even the viability of doing that is in there, and we need to talk about that. I need all of your input based on what you know about this. Utilizes existing buildings. We are utilizing this existing auditorium. We're utilizing the existing courthouse, so we're utilizing some existing buildings, and it's not county owned. So this was one that would have to be purchased. The bottom right-hand corner, just to let you know, that's just to clarify what is being built in here from a court's operation standpoint. The medium courtroom is being built. Public waiting, attorney conference rooms, jury deliberation, judges' chambers, clerk of court space, court services space, not a lot, some, to support an in-custody and hopefully a court space that could be utilized. And being its proximity, again, we might have to have a little conversation with the judge too, because I really would like to get the judge's input on some of this, but we'll have to follow up with them on some of this. So that's option A.
I did talk to a couple of both the circuit judges about it, just to see, you know, especially when you were asking for the debt to get an idea of how many trips they would make.
Yep.
And they were okay with it, but the key thing is they don't want to do a jury trial in that. In an in-custody courtroom, if it was all by itself, you know, so.
Yeah, okay.
But they were, you know, to them, it's just like riding the circuit when they have to go to another county, so.
My only concern with it, so we might be able to minimize this a little bit. So that's my conversation with the judges. If this is strictly a bringing an inmate up with a little bit of their family in the room, really not a lot of public, we might be able to minimize this area. So that's part of the question I want to have for them, because if they see that really their other courts are, that this court's not going to be utilized much other than these court set cases we talked about, the in-person case situations, I think there's some opportunity to reduce that. So.
Okay. There is also the question, though, when it comes back to staffing impact, is if you have that in-custody courtroom and they're moving vertically up and down into the courtroom, public can come into the courtroom to be a part of that.
Yes.
We're not engaging more staff. We're not pulling somebody out of the sheriff's office or having to hire more staff for that. So I guess the question is, if the judges chose not to do that, as a person looking at staffing, I would say you need to come up with a really good reason why you're not willing to do that. Is this your territorial space, or is there a law that says that, because now you are impacting the overall cost to the county to move that person from the facility to the courthouse to watch him, to work with him, to sit with him and bring him back, and we would then violate our three corridor rule. So,
yeah.
You know, in talking about that, that's a maybe a bargaining chip or a point someplace, but I think I wanted to bring that up ahead of time, that says three staff added to the sheriff's budget because of that, I want to use the right word, because of that request, and not necessarily requirement, is a long-term cost to the county. So as we go through, you're going to see things like that, and as we talk about it.
So then option, oops, I'm sorry.
And I would agree for what he's, what Lee said in talking to the judges so far, to say that they wouldn't want to do a jury trial there. I mean, it's really the difference if it's, you know, John Doe is here accused of murder, it's a jury trial, compared to John Doe suing Mary Jane for the loss of her car. I mean, it's criminal versus civil. Mm-hmm. You would think that the judges would much rather have the murder trial of a criminal in a secured facility compared to, you know. No.
It really has to do with it in custody.
I don't think it's the label jury trial is not the right word to use. I mean,
and we programmed that space, just so you know, right now we programmed it to work for a jury trial. I mean, that's a medium courtroom on this facility, and it's programmed to function. So we just, and it's whether it's here or whether it's across the street, it's a horse apiece to some extent. We just need to see how it works. Again, we're getting into the weeds a little bit on detail. We just need to see how it works best for the courts. I'm part of our task that you all, you know, the requirement here is also look at operational impact. And we know from the facilities that we've done, moving that inmate back and forth typically is a higher operational cost than being able to utilize something like this. So
the courtroom cost either place will be the same.
Yes. Yes, sir.
It's the staff in between that is being drawn into that. And that is what
we don't want to build something that wouldn't be used.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. So the savings when you do that comes in having to build, in theory at least, less court space. I mean, that's where the savings is.
Exactly.
But, you know,
it's got to get used.
If we can do that, you know.
Because there are many courtrooms in Minnesota that sit empty in jails. I can name a half a dozen of them.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does this take care of 90-95% of the cases by having this courtroom above the building?
It should take care of 100%
all
of them.
Yeah. And that's the
there
most...
There should not be an inmate that needs to be moved out of there unless he's going to another county for court, because he's moving vertically up and down. Mm-hmm. It is a full-service courtroom. Let's take the word arraignment out. It is a full-service courtroom for which the judge and all of the support services have the appropriate space for them.
We need to talk to the... I mean, they have specifically said, and Judge Spears said that.
If people are getting caught up on the word arraignment, take that out. It is a full...
And it just says in custody, but you're right. We sat here and talked to the judge, and he said, would that be an option? And it appeared that it would be an option.
It would be an option, but he did say... no jury, not for jury trial.
So we need to follow up.
Well, I'm all for making it as efficient as possible, and by doing this, for sure, we don't want deputies hauling people around. You know, we want efficiency.
Good.
When you do speak with the judges, you want to see if they'd be willing to change their scheduling, because there's a lot of times when Judge Spears and Judge Means are having court at the same time, and there are times when a defendant will appear in front of both of them on the same morning.
Are they doing simultaneous in custody hearings or proceedings?
I would hope they'd be able to work their calendar around that.
Mm. I got the impression that they'd be willing to, but you know, we didn't like say yes or no.
I think those are things as we move down the track. I think the bigger question is getting a better understanding, because from where we're coming from, there's a zero staffing impact. If it changes, now we have a staffing impact. I don't care if we're transporting across the street or 1.9 miles away, you've got a staffing impact, which falls in my lap. Right. It falls in your lap. Then the county pays for it.
So option B, what we decided to do was say, okay, what happens if we move everything over here? What happens when I say everything? All those additional judicial functions. So a state attorney, clerk of courts, court services, and the rest of the court's functions. What happens if we move all of those over here?
So this is a justice center.
It's basically a justice center. And the whole goal here was to say, okay, can it fit and could it work? So really what this diagram is the same thing you saw in A, but the area that's cross-hatched across here is basically it's three stories. Mm-hmm. So there's two stories of court functions above the main level entrance. So you come in, you have sheriff's office, you have your jail administration lobby spaces. You come in, you go up vertical circulation stairs and elevator, and typically the way that would lay out was probably court services and state attorney on one floor. You go up to the next floor and you got your courts and clerk of courts and all those on the next floor up. So there's enough space to make that work by going up further. And you'll see in the cost, it's more expensive because now you're building more building, but it could work on that site. So again, going through the same thing. The only thing that changed from the last one is the court's operations now is it's not truly in one level. Well, actually it is. Court's operations from a clerk of courts to courtrooms is now on one level. Court's operations is in one building. It still could be phased, but that was the main difference, is really this one here, these two items, 7 and 8, about courts. That's the only difference from the last one. Site 2 is the county highway shop. And from the last meeting, we heard some information about where access would be off of the side road versus the highway. And I think it was off
10th Street.
Off 10th versus off Highway 20. And kind of talked about that a little bit. So we refined things a little bit. I think we always showed where some of the stockpiles are and some of this area of the public works shop, which looks like it's more, like I say, stockpiles of whether it's, you know, the asphalt or the gravel and things like that. It's probably that more of that type of area. And it fits fairly well. So when we laid it out, this is a modification to what you saw last time. Oh, I could go through. I'm sorry. I should go through. I should back up a little bit. So to reiterate a little bit, this total piece of property is fairly large. It's 752,000 square feet divided by 40. It's, 14, 15 acres, whatever. It's a Class I-1, which is an industrial zone. The industrial zone does have setback requirements, as you see there, 40 feet from the side, from the front setback, 30 feet from the rear, 20 feet from the sides, and the height limitation is 40 feet. It does have on-site parking requirements. The I-1 has on-site parking requirements. So, one of the benefits of this site, it's county owned. You don't have to purchase it. It does require 188 parking spaces, and then we show a breakdown of how to achieve that 188. And actually, to tell you the truth, what our layout achieves is 189. So we know we can achieve the parking that's required for the zone. And this shows how that lays out, how that facility lays out. And again, what we're doing, similar to what we talked about before, is when we lay these out on a new site like this, we're going to lay it out as efficient as we can for the site. And the jail is going to be all on one level, jail operations and jail housing, one level. Sheriff operations, one level. Everything's all together. Again, one level, just so we're all clear too, when you think about a two-level, two-story building, you need an elevator and you need stairs for movement between those floors. And a lot of times you'll have a certain amount of redundancy of bathrooms as well. So a one-story building is typically more efficient from a space standpoint as well as an operations standpoint. So this shows, you know, going through the issues, it meets the 20-year program requirement. It allows for future expansion. That dotted area up here is future expansion. There's other capabilities for the sheriff's operations to expand out. And so there's expansion capability of this entire building on this site. It preserves the historic facade of the courthouse because, again, all we're doing is putting a secured entrance piece to it. We're really not touching the facade and the rotunda. We're respecting that historic requirement. It maintains the existing sheriff's office. No, anytime you move, not. It does not require temporary inmate movement, temporary relocation out of county housing. The jail operations is on one level. Courts is still split. So in all these options off-site, courts operation is not on one level. It's not in one building unless you were to say, you know what, design this so the courts can go up vertically and we can build everything out there at one some point in time, which is a discussion at some point in time. You know, is there ever a goal where we're going to say everything should be out here? Whether it's immediately or whether it's 5 years down the road, that can be discussed later. There are some benefits to a what we would consider a consolidated justice facility. construction could be a phased if needed. It does not maintain proximity to the existing courthouse. So this one is, whatever that distance 1.9 miles from the kind of the existing courthouse area. So it doesn't maintain that existing area. That was just kind of one of the items. It does provide on-site parking. It provides adequate on-site parking. It does not utilize existing buildings. And it's county-owned property. So, any questions on County Highway Shop?
So this is another in-custody courtroom situation.
Yes, correct. So the space listed down there is an in-custody courtroom, which, again, we're going to have to talk to the judges about that a little bit more, about their operations of that. So it shows how it could be laid out. And we think it's a viable option. I think all the ones we're proposing, I think, are viable options. Yes, sir.
One thing, if I could interject.
Uh-huh.
On both the last one and this one, you mentioned the city zoning and the height requirement. Quite honestly, I think if there was a project to challenge the height requirement, it's probably a doable one. Because previous to about 8 years ago, the fire department only had an aerial unit going up to 60 to 65 feet. And they replaced that with a 105-foot aerial. So I want to say, in my opinion, as a fireman, that a lot of those height requirements were dictated by the firefighting capabilities, which has expanded. So I think today, in today's world, if somebody was to say, you know, like this one is 40 feet, if you needed 50 feet, it's probably something that the city and city council would work with you.
Yeah.
Or if downtown, if you had 50, you know, you needed 60, because simply put, I mean, public safety is a big sector of the whole deal. So
if you figure even a max of 14 feet floor to floor, times three floors, you know, you're looking at a building of 52 feet or plus or minus. So you might be right. In the downtown area, you're pretty close, and you could probably make it work. I got to believe that most cities I've dealt with are pretty workable with government facilities on variances, especially when they're minor variances. If you want to put something that's 100 feet tall, they might have an issue.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And, yeah, a lot of it stems from fighting capabilities. Highway, the West 212 site. So again, you know, that site, again, a large piece of property, 415,000 square feet roughly. It is zoned Ag 2. It does have certain setback requirements as noted on there. It does have on-site parking requirements, which are basically as identified there. It's kind of looked at as one per 250 square feet.
And you know, Commissioner Hanton had a little bit more information on the study while we're talking about this. Yeah, so the access study, basically with the Department of Transportation, that we need to.
Right. We put an application in back when we were going through the process before, and before the Department of Transportation will make a determination, what we need to do is move that approach over so that it will line up there with that section line, because it's displayed to the west. What they would require is a traffic analysis. So with that, the cost would be approximately $10,000 to $15,000 to do that, and it would take 1.5 to 2 months. He hasn't been out here and looked. It was just kind of talking over the phone. That was just his first guesstimate at it. Mm-hmm. But there has been an application that's been put in that is still pending.
So that was put in before, wasn't it? And that's still pending. Yeah.
Yep, still pending. We're just waiting to have that done before they'll make a determination of if they will move that approach.
And it was roughly 10,000, is that what you're saying?
10 to 15,000. 1.5 to 2 months to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to say something too on there's a couple things. There was one thing I would recommend on this site as well as this site. I think if the committee feels that these two sites are good options that the county would like to pursue, I would recommend that we have some geotechnical borings done of these sites. If the soils, if most of your soils are sandy, that's a pretty good soil for most situations. If it tends to be more of a clay, alluvial soil, so that when the weight hits it, it tends to push out, it can require a special foundation system. If somebody had an old building there, and when they, years ago, they bulldozed it and dumped it in a hole, that can create cost impact. We did a fire station a couple years ago, whatever. It turned out that when we were designing it, that the soil, and this was not a really large fire station, it turned out the soil conditions were not that good. And on about a $5 million fire station, we had about $800,000 for a special foundation system to support this building. You got heavy trucks and thick paving, but it was about $800,000 increase for that foundation system. We got one right now, another one, where they had to have concrete grade beams and pylons because of the soil system. So anyway, doing these borings is going to be important to make sure we're not going to have some unknowns. So again, what I would suggest to this committee is we, again, if everybody's agreeable, we'll go ahead and spot some locations, roughly probably 6 on each one of these sites. It'll probably cost $6,000 to $7,000, $8,000 maybe to run initial analysis. But again, we got to get that quoted by Braun or Intertech or one of these kind of companies that do soil borings. They typically will go down about 20 to 25 feet deep, and they'll give us some information that our structural engineers can look at and say, yeah, not an issue.
When would we need to make that decision by?
I would say if you feel... We can initiate the proposals. There's no cost to the county to get proposals to have the work done. I would say we get the proposals for the geotechnical, and then maybe at your next meeting, you say, do we want to go ahead and have these done? So that's what I would suggest.
That's something that has to go to the commissioners as a whole.
Yeah, we can only recommend.
So if it's all right with this group, again, it won't cost anything to the county. We'll go ahead and get a proposal to have the geotechnical borings done.
So right now you're talking like all four sites?
I think, in the downtown area where the parking lot is and the auditorium is, I really don't get a sense there's a lot of problems there. Based on what we looked at and saw at the parking lot, things like this, I don't get, unless somebody buried an old building in that parking lot, I don't think so.
Well, there was a building there that burned down, an old Elks Club.
Basement? Well, I'm sure it had a basement. Everything in our territory has basement.
Sure,
yeah. There would probably be something from when you did the addition on the jail. Would there not?
It expanded to the west in the 1998 addition under the building. But what I've been told is that the old jail back in turn of the century was in the southwest corner of that courthouse parking lot. Now, I don't know what happened to it. It wasn't around at that time. I guess what happened to that.
Put it this way: is my recommendation, unless we start eliminating a couple more sites, whatever we're at, you know, in the next month or two, I'd say we do borings on all the sites.
That's what I'm thinking of, too.
Because it's really going to affect a lot going forward.
Let's get the quote.
You'll see it in the estimates. I mean, you'll see in the estimates, you know, again, I would be really hesitant to say that anything we're talking about, and this is just off the cuff, so when you quote me, please say it's that 50,000 looks deal. I would have a hard time believing that anything we're looking at would be over $1 million of project impact. That's still a large chunk of money. So I don't want to act like $1 million isn't. But, you know what I mean? It would never be much more of a magnitude above that. So, but I think having those borings makes a lot of sense. It helps to identify some of the unknowns.
First of all, is the city okay with us buying that?
That was my next question.
Buying the city auditorium lot?
I think they would be, but we're gonna. As far as how much that would cost, that's a variable.
Do we have anything they want?
I guess we need to ask the city that.
I think as a county, we've already traded everything they wanted. I don't think there's anything that we have that they want. But I don't believe there'd be an objection from what we've had conversations, county to city in the past.
Yeah, I don't
think we really got set on it.
They know we're looking at that, and they've semi-agreed that if you can come up with an option that's viable there, they'll like it.
They'll work with us. As far as how much money that would be, well, that remains to be seen. If you're wondering what the assessed value on the non-city half of that auditorium block is, 300 and some. It was in the site.
390, 380, yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was. So that gives you an idea of just
for the parking lot
for the half of the block that's not city. The first district
was identified as that whole piece of property, right? When what I saw was that the line, which I didn't understand, because aren't these some private residences?
Yeah, they are private. But there's a caveat on that sheet. What we're talking about are those GIS things that the first district did for us.
Yeah,
it said does not include city owned property. Yeah, so I think if I understand what they're saying. Just to give you an idea of what the cost of that would be. More or less. But that's how I understand it. But we have to clarify that.
What I would like to get, though, is what I would ask from this group is, or somebody, to get a value of what it would cost. Because that's going to be an important factor. The city might sell it for. Now,
we'll
whether that's down. Talking to an appraiser and says, the appraiser said, oh, for a building that size, that age, we would expect this.
We'll work on
even
that.
Even if it's a ballpark number.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Just so we can figure that one out.
What is X?
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully they're feeling generous that day when they have.
I think it ties in nicely, too, to the downtown revitalization is very much on the front of everybody's mind, too. So I think if that can be part of the conversation, I think there's some merit with that.
Yeah. And
that's exactly, just
for everybody that didn't, the city's been going through this charrette downtown revitalization discussion. And my wife and I got to go to one of the sessions, it was like 3 months ago, and sure enough, they said, put the jail on the old Elks site. You know, they like the auditorium block. Yeah, so that's it. There's some passion about keeping what we can downtown, and that's why we have a criterion to do that.
Not concerned about losing parking, then?
Well, they understand that there's parking issues, but I think overall, when you think about, I mean, this is my opinion, having lived in some bigger cities in my life, is that, you know, you're pretty happy if you get a parking spot four blocks away from where you're going. So, you know, I think overall downtown there's a lot of little parking lots there. So that's, but I'm not the expert on it, but you know, something to think about. So, you know,
that's an urban way of thinking.
I know that's not very one
parking fairly adjacent.
Oh, definitely for handicap and for employees. Yeah.
So again, this is a very good site. It has to be annexed in. I don't think the annexation requirement is an issue probably at all. I mean, that's probably fairly minor. We understood in our conversation last time that there are utilities out to the site, so we didn't see a big utility impact for this. I think part of the biggest one was our understanding that this roadway was going to have to be developed. Now, based on what I understand from the comment before, was there a requirement to have it aligned with this piece over here? Was that?
I don't know if there's a requirement. Do you know about that, friend?
I think they want to scoot the crossover to the east.
Oh,
to the property
if
line.
If you
go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. You'll see it. You'll have the way you
if
have
you were
it.
To
I think
pan
it's
a, back.
I think that's okay. Like that.
There's two driveways that are basically existing right now. You're seeing the one that you just pointed at, and then there's another one. Just
oh,
to
this
the
one
west.
Here. And that one there?
No, to the west. There's another one to the west that really doesn't. It's used by the farmstead that's there, which is adjacent to that property owner. So usually, what the DOT says, they don't like adding additional. If you can give up one, we'll give
this red line.
So basically, the way I understood it, they're saying if you can convince the property owner, you know, to take that one that's right there, barely into the gray, and just basically move it to the east, whatever it is.
Okay. So we don't need access from the north? We could have just access off 212?
Access to the north would be a city issue because that's 4th Avenue. That's not a state.
But I understood in the last conversation was there was a requirement to bring that through.
Well, if That was definitely, it would be nice. Did you have any more information on that, Commissioner Handler?
At this point, the city's not interested in extending that up to 4th Avenue, yeah. So basically it would just be wherever we...
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay, that has a big impact.
Yeah, okay.
That has a huge impact.
Yeah.
Well, it reduces some of the site costs there, our site evaluation costs, to tell you the truth on development, so that actually help a little bit.
Yes, sorry, does somebody have a question?
I don't want to interrupt, but if I remember right, I think Rick Small said if he constructed or the county constructed a road that went all the way through to 4th Avenue, his estimation was not paved, but the county could do it at about $250,000. And I'm basing that on minutes that I read.
We had that conversation before.
I would agree with him. That's in the ballpark what our county suit said. That the county was to just build a gravel road from that basically that right property on to 4th Avenue, which is...
But then if we annex at the city to annex it, and then we're different building or curb and gutter requirements too, so... That's something we got to sort out, so...
Yeah. All I'm stating is the fact that the city wasn't interested in
and
part of
paying for it, yeah. Okay.
So this option, again, we'll tweak that a little bit and kind of coordinate that a little bit. But again, this option allows for jail operations on one level. It allows for sheriff's operation on one level. And this site, as you've seen before, does provide the capability to provide everything out there if you ever wanted to, but we do show this one courtroom space out there. It does, you know, so it meets the 20-year projections, allows for future expansion, preserves the existing. It doesn't maintain the existing operations. It doesn't require relocation of inmates. Jail operations is on one level. Courts operations, of course, is still split. Construction could be phased if needed. Doesn't maintain proximity to really the downtown, the existing historic courthouse. Does provide plenty of on-site parking. And it doesn't utilize existing buildings, and it is county-owned property. Mm-hmm. The next four options, so those are, in essence, three sites that we just went over. The next four options all talk about utilization of the courthouse site. Now, Al had one that we're going to talk about after we go through these a little bit, and we do think it has some potential legs and want to bounce it off all you to see what you think. So, the existing site, roughly about 3 acres, 124,000 square feet. It's zoned C1, so it's, what's that, a commercial district, I believe? Again, zero setbacks, required 50-foot height limitation, which for the most part should be fine. It is county-owned. Now, in the first option, in option A, one of the discussions that came up is can we work, if the county operations, so the auditor, treasurer, equalization office, all of these various county functions, were to move into the Midland building, how would that play out? So in option A, we're looking at taking, and in this option, the way we show this, is basically... The existing courthouse now, for all intents and purposes, becomes court's functions. So the existing courthouse is court functions. The existing jail, this option, the existing jail is demolished to allow this jail to be constructed. Sheriff's operations is constructed here, and I think it goes to a second level, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
And courts operations and your new secured entrance. So when we were talking about those other four scenarios, in all of those, or those other three scenarios, and those other options, we're still building a secured, so long as there's courts operations occurring in this building, to create a secure court facility, we are creating a secured entrance piece here. So now, coming off this sidewalk, there's a screening element, a secured entrance that occurs over here. And in this option, we list the departments over here. Those departments are potentially moving over to the Midland building. Like I said, equalization facility, imagine veteran services, welfare, so on and so forth.
So, Bruce, that would be the only entry point, then? You close off the other two entry points?
You could use the others for... So if you wanted staff entrances, okay, you just put proximity readers and secured access off certain things.
But the main front end?
That's where the public come in.
Okay.
They would all come through the secure entrance to come into the building.
Okay.
So in this option, you know, when you look at this, and you'll see more detailed plans. We're just going to go out in a broad brush, and then we'll flip through the plans so you can all see it. Again, meets 20 of your goals. It does allow for expansion. So this dotted piece here is the future 32-bed units. And to tell you the truth, if you needed to in the future, there's expansion capability further to the kind of northeast area. There's always the option of vertical expansion, and we'd have to talk about that more because it does have a cost impact to be able to go vertical. It does preserve the historic courthouse. The way this is being approached is the way we've done it with historic courthouses around the country. It's not, you know, a lot of times these historic societies look at, does it challenge the appearance and that precedence of the historic facade? And if we started to push this further here, to where its prominence is more overly stated than that, then historically that's an issue. And then they get into other things of making sure that the facility doesn't try to mimic the existing. It respects the quality of the materials. You're not going to clad this with a metal material, a corrugated metal tin or something, have it right next to that. You want it to respect it, but it's set back. So we know that it can work to preserve the historic facade. It does not maintain sheriff's operations. We're moving the sheriff's operations. It does not require temporary relocation. This was an error, a mistake on the plan. Right now it says requires temporary relocation. It doesn't. The way we would accommodate that, and we talked about it more, this building can be constructed in such a way to allow a section of the housing units to get built, move the inmates into that area, and then demolish and build the other wing. So this plan allows for the phasing of that to occur, and I'll show you more as we go on. So all of them will allow for that to occur so we can maintain sheriff's operations, jail operations. So we'll go to the next one. This is an overview, and I'll go to the enlarged plan, but it kind of stacks it up a little bit so you can see what's going on. So this is the main level, the ground level, and the ground level has the sheriff's operations garage. It has, I'm having a hard time reading it with a small print.
Vehicle alley ported down in the corner.
Yep, it has jail. So this is jail operations. So when we talk about one level, jail operations, and these are the housing units for the pods that we talked about. And then we're showing utilization of the existing building for courts. As you stack up, this is the jail mezzanine area for the mezzanine housing. Sheriff's operations, again, utilization of that area for courts and so on. We're really not touching the third floor. The Legion area, we're really not touching any of these. It has limited access because of its one stair and things like this. And so there, that's being left in all scenarios. So as you go to the enlarged plan.
And there's also just not much usable space.
There's mostly, very, very little.
It's pretty much like it's about two-thirds attic, I'd say, which is, you know.
So on this level, what we've done is, again, you're seeing the secured entrance coming in through a screening element. It's just like going to an airport. And again, in a good modern justice facility, this is how you plan for screening people coming into a building. You have the ability to screen them. You normally have a space for personal effects, but you have the ability to screen them before they come into the building. So you come in, you screen them, there's a stair and an elevator, it takes them up to the upper levels, there's public restrooms for the non-ADA, the non-accessible that currently exist in the building, and you have the ability to transition down into these other areas. So we're showing utilization of these other spaces. You know, right now we're showing court services, you know, being right near the front door, operations there. Clerk of courts utilizing that space, and it's pretty close to their program. There might be a little bit over, a little bit under, but it's pretty close to program. There are some extra areas that aren't totally utilized, whether that gets backfilled, but it does show it's used fairly efficiently.
Currently unused areas, those are future expansion.
Exactly. I mean, really, and they're small areas, too. You know, to try to say you're going to fill every nook and cranny of an existing building, there's going to be some areas that aren't utilized as well because it's an existing building.
Yeah.
When you go to the second level, it's called first level.
Yeah, so this is all the level.
So the ground level is the ground level.
Yeah. So this is the rotunda level.
This is the rotunda level, exactly. Yeah. So sheriff's operations is here. above that level. You get your entrance piece, your sheriff's office and things here. And what we've done to minimize the amount of new building footprint, and Sheriff, this is something for discussion, we've actually backfilled some of the sheriff's operations into these areas. Again, we figure, okay, it's space that's available. It minimizes the amount of new building. We'll utilize that. And then this space would be utilized, again, this 50,000-foot level, it shows we have space to accommodate these operations. That's the state attorney's area and their program space.
One good thing about that is having the county attorney on a level separate from the judicial system.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
So these areas, just to get everybody an idea, in some of the jails that you toured, you went into and you saw a jail housing unit, and you were standing at a point, and you saw like a mezzanine. You saw an area where there were cells up above and little, yeah, like almost like a catwalk that looked up. Well, modern jail planning is you have a post, you have an individual that sits here, and they can look up, and right, it's considered podular design, and that correctional officer can really see, has great sight lines to everything that's going on. These gray areas up above are cells on that mezzanine level.
So in a case like that, would we... You were trying to explain it to me, and I don't know if I understood it, but does this mean with that kind of design, do we have to have two control stations?
No. So there's one control room,
right,
and a control room is used for monitoring,
right,
exterior cameras, monitoring a number,
right,
of cameras on the inside,
right,
and typically controlling exterior perimeter doors. You have control post or stations.
Workstation.
It's basically a workstation.
It would be an open station.
Yep.
Right.
And it's where that correctional officer that is monitoring what's going on is basically moving back and forth. They have toilet paper stored there. They're able to release doors when they're doing certain checks. They're able to release doors and go into certain, yeah, areas. It's just a post. It's not a control room.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what I should have said. Yeah. Okay.
They can move off that post. They're on camera. The inmates are on camera. They're being watched.
Yeah.
The term, they feel like they're in a fishbowl, they are. Because the inmates see them, they see the inmates. That's what it's designed for. We're looking through glass, but you have constant monitoring of them at all times in their areas.
I think we'd probably like it if the inmates couldn't see them.
No, so we designed it, so just to be clear. Yeah. Yeah. We designed, the way we do housing units, and this is way too in the weeds, but we went there, so I'm going to go there. We put a light above the glass. You have a lot of glass to see into those units because you need good sight lines for visible.
Yeah.
You put a light above the glass. It's a one-way mirror type glass. The light washes the inmate's side of the light, and they really can't see what's going on. The officer can see clearly what's going on in the day room, but if you're moving somebody through there, the inmates aren't waving high.
They'll see a silhouette, is all they're going to see,
yeah,
at best.
Yeah.
When you're talking about that, and maybe I missed it, what you were asking, you got those two different pod areas. Do you have a person in each one of those center areas?
Yes. A rover, so somebody that's monitoring those inmates that needs to be there. Yes. So okay, they're not like in a room boxed in there. They're sitting out in like a workstation.
Right.
Shot at you.
Yep. But so they're not at necessarily wondering. You don't have somebody being able to watch at all times.
Where I drew the circle, yep, it would be an open workstation, and they would look at all the pods all the way around. They'd,
right,
have access to them all the way around.
Correct. Now, would you have an individual at both of those workstations?
Yes.
Ideally,
okay,
yeah.
That's,
and your central control, in this layout, ideally, your central control is right down here somewhere. Ideally, your central control wants to be able to see right down here, back in your booking area, for good control and sight lines. Ideally, that's right around where central wants to be, roughly.
Bruce?
Yes, sir.
So, in this design, plus the way I'm understanding, like Al was saying, you have two separate pods.
Yes.
In the previous sites that we were talking about, is that the current layout of those as well? They would have two separate pods, or would there only be one pod?
Those are a little bit different. The layout that we're trying this one is a little bit different to accommodate the site better and to get those posts there. Just given the size of the site and shape of it, we have a lot more flexibility with those greenfield sites. So really, we can do a lot more with it. The pod layout for those ones, I do know, was a little bit different. but I'd have to look at the plans that you
put. Basically, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 units around a post. So as you're seeing it, and it's two-story. Again, mezzanine, but it'd be, glass would probably be about the same height as what you see here as you're sitting one step up, looking up into the unit. So you can see to the top of the cell and see them at all times.
I think what you're getting at.
I'm sorry. If you were to take this chunk of space, whatever it's doing in that pod, on a different greenfield site, you might be able to do this. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then you're right. At center point's now happening here.
Yeah. And it's more efficient to have two people in the middle of the one
than one.
Have one on one.
Correct.
Yes.
Your sight lines are diminished greatly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but again, that's in looking at where it's at right now, those two staff would still be there, whether the two are together in one spot or they're single there, they're still required two staff to that. So
staff is predicated on number of inmates that you're dealing with. Yep. Not, I don't want to say not layout, because there is some layout impact. If it's multiple levels and things like this, or if it's way spread out, that does have an impact.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, that's good to know.
You're swinging your head no, so I got to ask the question.
Well, I'm just going to. It looks to me like this is predicated on ACA standards for space, but there is no way that you're going to be able to maintain ACA standards on staff.
Why?
Why? We're there.
That's the question.
We've done it. We've got a staffing analysis just that we're going to review after this, but
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. And it does involve. And then we'll talk about that. Let's get to that question.
Yeah.
So anyway, utilization of this level, the upper level. So what we're showing the judge, I'm glad you can make it. Good to see you. Because I had some questions for you, so I'm glad you're here, sir.
Now you're going to get on the hot spot.
And we might, after this meeting, might grab you a little bit for some additional questions if you're not in a hurry. So on this level, on the second level, this is where we're showing. So all this is roof. Roof of the jail, roof of the other spaces, and we're showing, again, this is utilization of existing courts. So we're saying, you know what, we're utilizing what we can here. We're building this new section over here to accommodate program requirement that was shown in the National Center of State Courts. We're building a new 2,000 square foot courtroom, new jury deliberation, judges' chambers, inmate holding. And again, when the jail's down below here with that quarter, the inmates can come right up to a secured elevator. They come right up without ever going through the public. They go to a holding area. They enter into the courtroom. They leave the courtroom. They never cross paths. Public comes up this area here. Public is on this side of the corridor. They get into the rotunda and around this area, but they never get back to this secured path. And we're showing the idea of connecting to this hearing room. So right now, Judge, one of the things we looked at that we could add, again, a good judicial practices, good courts planning practices, is if you want to separate court staff from public, we have the ability to create a stairwell here that could move staff up and down through a secured passage, secured access, without coming through the public passes. So there's ways to create good secure circulation. The only thing that's not totally met in this plan, Judge, is you've got access to the hearing room, you've got access to the new courtroom through a separate secured corridor. Access to this courtroom is still by going through public corridor. So you do have one courtroom that right now is still accessed through public corridors. And I'm assuming your inmate movement is always could always be to one courtroom. It's not group two, we're assuming.
One.
Yes, sir.
The painting the inmates in there, is that kind of like a skywalk or something?
No, it's so if I go back now, so right now the inmates are in their housing unit.
Yep.
They're brought out a corridor, they come down, they're taken to this elevator.
Yep.
That elevator goes straight up.
Yep.
To this holding area.
Yes.
They're brought out of that. They're staged in there until they're ready to come into the courtroom.
Yeah, but then you have the hallway going across to the
hearing
courtroom.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're not brought out that way.
No.
Well, what about going into that hearing courtroom? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, but we typically don't see inmates needed to be brought into. Okay.
But I see you have the lines here. What is that?
So this is for the judges. This is judges and jury movement circulation.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Inmates separate from the public.
Separate from the public. Kept at this line. Staff is kept at this line. Inmates is only from here. And typically we'll locate the jury box right next because in most cases you bring those inmates in, you put them in the jury box, or they're going to the defendant's table. Or
how would you move the inmates to that hearing room or woodshop?
I typically wouldn't think you'd need to.
Okay.
You just use one hearing room for
In custody
inmates, correct?
Okay.
That's the way we got it shown.
In that holding
and
again.
This new building is going to be a public building, so judges won't be assigned courtrooms. So there will be hearing rooms or courtrooms.
Yes.
Correct.
Right.
So that is option A. And in that option, and again, we're not touching the third floor where the Legion is. But again, to utilize this building and to get the space that we're showing, On the ground level, on the first floor, we're moving those government functions into the middle of the building. Option B, for this option, what we said is, again, overturn every stone. You know, you really need to look under every stone to say, are we hitting all the appropriate options? And making sure that we address it. And if we're not, please ask us as we're going through some of these. So in this one, we said, okay, we're not going to utilize the Midland building, but we're potentially going to move government services into the old jail. Can we do that? You know, does it make sense to do that? Do we have the area to do that? Based on previous program information that was done on your government services type, it's roughly about 17,000 square feet of space required for all those government functions, roughly in that range. We're able to accommodate that in this building. If we were to tear out the jails, remodel space, it's basically a gut and remodel, just so we're clear, it's not just a one or two walls go out. And remodeling of a jail space is not simple. It involves a lot of demolition, a lot of rework. So you're left with a shell, and there are some savings there, but it's something. So in this one, we utilize this for government services. We build our new jail on this side. Now, to make the jail fit, and we're still playing around with this, but on this one, to make the jail fit, when we say two levels, jail operations is on the main level, and jail housing is on the second level. When we looked at this, was there the ability to, if jail operations slid around the corner and the jail slid in here, is there a way to make this flow on one level?
I think we could.
So there is the option to make this flow on one level.
So that would be putting the jail below and then putting all the. Is that what you're saying?
At this point right now, this one is concerning to me because if you look at it, you've got the jail operation, you've got a housing unit here, which is basically two stories involved in one room. There'd be another two stories above that. The concern comes in that's obviously an additional post of staff right off the bat. Now we've got the quandary of what is it going to take to transport the inmate from this floor down to the main level.
Yeah.
Do they move freely? Do they walk down a stairs? Are they escorted? If they're escorted, now we're adding another two to potentially three people to be in that elevator with them to move them up and down, commonly known as a multi-purpose person or a rover during the business hours. So when I looked at this one, when I looked at the two-story, it looked good on paper that it fit. But all of a sudden I go back to the staffing and I say, look, we try to minimize staffing. We've now just increased our staffing because we stack things. You know, and in essence, it looks like a four-story building, but it's two stories because of the housing pod is two mezzanines. Now we're talking recreation and programming. How do we move them? How do we do things versus that one level being horizontal going back and forth where two people can move, you know, 40 people by escorting them down the hall or watching them move directly with direct supervision versus hallways. Most of your times, your assaults, your issues, your problems are going to happen in elevators, in stairs, different things like that. So Now we put an implied risk to the county and to potential staff walking with them up and down. So as we went through this one, I expressed my concern on this one that even though it worked, I see this as a little more complicated and a lot more expensive from a long-term operational standpoint. I mean, you know, one-tenth of the building cost is...
100%. I always think of every facility that I've seen that's just built like this, whether it's new, a few years old, or 10 or 20 years old, you always deal with sewer issues and... the stuff goes downhill.
Yeah.
So if you have your offices below the jail, you're dealing with it.
So I think our task on this one is to see, can we put jail and sheriff's operations or jail and jail operations on one level? I think we need to look at this and say, unless somebody tells me differently, can we move this up and make this work on one level? The other thing, too, is just so everybody's aware, I need to look at the schedule. There needs to be a schedule. And as we got into it more, I realized that we're going to develop a schedule, a construction schedule, for each one of these various options, because each one has a different time impact. To do this project, you have to construct your new jail area to move the inmates from there into this. So phase one is building this to move them. Phase two is gutting and remodeling this to move them from here to here. Phase three is then going back in and doing the rest of whatever else you need to finish up. So this is actually a three-phase project. From a construction standpoint, the biggest cost impact from construction is the general contract, construction manager, however the project is executed, it's the general conditions of managing that project for those additional months. It was not necessarily a large construction cost impact, it's a management impact of a 30-month project versus a 22-month project, something like that. So we're going to develop a schedule that in this one it would be four phases.
One thing I see on this, right, having the county services brought down into that jail. We've lost all the parking around. Now you have parking on two sides of the streets down in the corner. Otherwise, you parked all the way up around, and you had the big parking lot that is now being taken up by the jail. So I don't think having that county services down there would work out very good from the standpoint of parking.
All of these options, Al, is a very good point. Everything on this site, we're absorbing all of the property that can be built on, or that can be used for parking, I should say. You're not going to do anything to the plaza up front.
Right.
You just can't touch it. We're absorbing all the parking. So, and everything on this site, the discussion will be, well, can you utilize this parking? You know, is there other adjacent parking that you can either get a lease, the city or the county could get a long-term lease on, that you could get some agreement in place for adjacent parking?
I don't think there is any down in that corner, the junction of 2nd Avenue and South Maple. You got Jenkins to the south, and you got some private properties over on the other side with houses, and I forget what's over, you got on the south east section, you got 200 Maple Place. So there's no really parking.
Really not a lot?
Yeah.
The only thing that comes to my mind from all the times we drive is the
city lot. But for people to walk from that city lot where the auditorium is over to there, I think would be good for their health.
It's not that far.
Well, it's okay as long as it doesn't go away.
If you're talking about a city walk, right, it's not that far. If you're talking about a walk in Watertown, that's quite a ways for them, you know.
That's a good point. So,
really quick question. Mm-hmm. In all of your plans downtown, I guess I firmly believe you're going to have an additional cost to the facade of the outer building compared to either the two off sites due to the fact that you're going to come up with something that somewhat matches the courthouse appears.
That's a good point.
I mean, maybe not necessarily all of that, but at least the part that's close to the courthouse or viewable from the north is probably going to have an additional cost in...
Your north and your west.
Just the west, correct?
Yeah, your north for sure, because that faces the same as the front of the building, and your west, which is coming around. I mean, the south maybe not as much, but...
We've been able to utilize precast panels. I mean, the Gage Brothers out of Sioux Falls, precast has gone up because of limited provider, limited supply and demand. But we've been able to use precast panels. They're fairly economical, that you can do some nice colorations and make it look good.
Right.
Without it, I mean, we're definitely not going to have to go to limestone, you know, or any of those types of things.
Right. I'm not saying that, but even your precast, the exterior finish, if it's just a simple brick wall look, is X amount of dollars. Where if you're going to try to match up to the coloration and the bigger block style of the courthouse, it's probably like the premium landscape option of the precast.
So you're right.
It's probably going to have an
issue. There's a little impact. Yep. I'll have to look at that a little bit. We didn't get into that a lot, but there is a certain amount of impact. So as we go through the points of this, the biggest down that we saw is the fact that, you know, and that does require multiple phasing, and it does absorb all the parking. I mean, those are part of the big issues. It does provide some expansion capability, but it's still we're showing the pod and. You could, you know, we're trying to stay away from this a little bit, this corner. There's some utilities in this area, electrical transformer and things like this, there's some cost associated with rerouting all that utility, so we're trying to stay away from that a little bit.
Here, I thought you were trying to preserve the outdoor rack.
That's it.
That is kind of nice.
It is. Never have enough asphalt.
Historic.
Again, the stacking just kind of shows you in general. If I look at that, a little bit more, but again, right now what we're showing here is this blue here is the county offices over there. We're showing sheriff's jail operations here, and we're showing, I think, is that sheriff's operations here?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, sheriff's operations.
Yes.
So again, what I'd like to do is see if we can get the jail. Come around that corner. I'm not sure how well it works with the existing footprint. There's a limitation of what the site's creating, but I'd like to see if we can bring it around the corner to get all jail in one level. Whereas you see here in the large plan, which is a little easier for my eyes to read. So on the government services, this building, this footprint of the existing sheriff's operation, existing sheriff's office. The main level, I think, we've got about 11,460?
Yeah, the existing is about 13,800. We're cutting back a little bit of that, and we're utilizing 11,460. We're assuming whatever left over we go to the lower level.
Yeah, so the goal is to utilize the departments primarily on the main level as potentially storage. Now, I'm not saying this is an ideal building. We haven't figured out, you know, where does the county boardroom go? Is it in the basement, or is there an area in the main level that will support that? We do have some bearing walls that limit where things can go in the middle of this building. We should actually dive in those bearing walls. It would help to see the limitations of some of this. But there is some limitations that I'm not sure this works well, to be quite honest with you, for a government services building. I'm not sure how well it stacks up. But we put it on there for discussion's sake. I think we'll look at that a little bit more and give you our opinion, but I think there's some limitations to it working well for the government services. Jail operations, again, over here, vehicle sally port, and so on and so forth. And then utilization, the front secured entrance, court services, clerk of courts, same thing as you saw in option B, or option A. On this first level, on this particular one, we're similar to the other one, except for this one, it shows the jail housing on the second level. On the first level, actually, I consider it second level, but on the first level. And this one Lee, the one thing that this does do is now you don't have a secured elevator. You're able to take the inmates across this hallway over to the courts. So there's kind of that. There is a transition, the height transition there, a slight height transition. I think we can make that work. We're basically going from the mezzanine level up to a full level. We just need to make sure that transition works. But there is a slight height transition that would have to be worked out. And this is similar to the other courtroom, or the other court layout, except I think on this one, correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, we've got the new 2,000 square foot jury courtroom, we've got jury deliberation, we've got judge's chamber. We don't show a new judge's chamber over here.
We've got the interior courtroom and the judge's chamber.
So, yeah, so this is kind of split up. So you've got state attorney. So there is a little juxtaposition. You've got the hearing room, whereas the last one, everything was on the second level, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one, we split some things. And the reason we did that, just to be clear, is we don't. The last option, we had space above it. We actually might be able to move this up. Again, if we look at the plan, the question would be, do you move sheriff's operations in such a way where you just stack it similar to option A? So again, we'll take a look at this a little bit more. I'm not sure I like the flow of this as much from a layout standpoint. And it does show this space available. So I think we need to look at that just slightly more. On the second level, then you see we're not building anything, but I think we could, by moving stuff around, we might be able to make it work a little bit better. And this shows utilization of courts. I think we could go back to option A and see how that, because the biggest thing is utilization of this building and allowing the jail to flow around. So we're going to look at A and C. Here's my feeling. I think there might be an opportunity to better utilize some of this existing space similar to what option A showed and the jail. The thing with this is, can it work with keeping this existing building? Option C is, again, utilizing the existing footprint of the sheriff's and jails, but now remodeling that for sheriff's operations. So the program identified roughly 15,623 for courts operations. That space exists in this building, separate from some of the building lower level, right?
Right.
From the basement. So that basement becomes some additional storage, whether it's for general county functions, sheriff, but there's still the opportunity to put emergency management down there and keep some functions down in that lower level as well. But the idea is to gut and remodel a lot of this building to make it flow. We are showing in this option as well, because of the limited footprint, I would almost guarantee in this option it's going to be hard to wrap the jail around the corner. So this does show potential for a two-story courts facility, or two-story jail facility, excuse me. I'm going to go through the enlarged plans right off the bat. So on page 25, everybody's following the program. Again, secured entrance coming into the building. State attorney in the new area off the side. Oops. Court services off the main lobby, and this showed jail operations on this main level here. The problem is, if you take a look at that jail operations area, it doesn't leave a lot of space for jail housing. So in this option, to utilize the existing building for sheriff's operations and lay it out with the sheriff's and the LEC garage space, in this option, the jail is almost definitely going to have to go on the second level. I'd also like to say, too, that the footprint of the building on the second level somewhat predicates the footprint on the first level. So to help everybody understand that, if your jail layout for your pod, and based on these are all your individual cells, these are the mezzanine level housing units, day rooms, rather, chases be in the rear of the cells. This footprint, this line of that building, of what it takes to lay these cells out, this line basically drops on the ground down below. So this footprint, that is dictated by what happens here. So there's a little bit of space inefficiency with this as well, drops down as well. So the things overlap, but there's some space inefficiency. You end up actually building a little more down on this level than you necessarily need. So there's the housing on the first level, the jail housing, the ability to expand. The sheriff's operation is a roof on this side. Clerk of Courts is built on this level. There is some excess area. It's just based on this excess area that I'm kind of showing the cursor in here in the middle. This area that we're identifying is kind of not totally utilized is predicated on the court's floor up above. You're building that floor. It's creating that space down below. It's there. We are showing, now in option C, we're not moving any of the government functions out of this building. So we still have, equalization office, welfare office, nursing exam rooms, veterans, all those folks are still in this building. You can see. Oops, wrong way. The level above that, then, is the mezzanine level. Mezzanine level of the jail, like we talked about. And then this goes back to similar to what you saw in option A, where we're utilizing the second floor, the existing courts space that's there, and we're building a new large jury courtroom, inmate holding, and so on and so forth. But again, it's that separation of public secured court, and like we said, the only one right now that's out is the medium courtroom as far as access. So. That is option C. Option D. In this option, we said, okay, let's see, this was demolish existing build a jail. We're building all new sheriff's operations. This kind of pushed things a little bit around, and it did actually start to move the jail around, kind of curved it up around the corner. This was, again, to try to create a one-level jail operational space. I'm trying to think, how did that differ from any?
Doesn't this one have the county offices?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
This one doesn't have the Midland building.
So, yeah, A moved things to the Midland building. This doesn't move anything. This says, okay, can we build everything we need to build, but stay on the site, build the jail and jail operations on one level, sheriff's operations, which now becomes, is that two-level space?
Yeah, sheriff's operations is a two-level space.
Yep.
And then the courts are on the second level altogether.
Yep, page 29. So in this one, as we go into it, again, this shows you the housing units we've been looking at. And I'm on page 31 now. And, jail operations are now kind of accessing and primarily coming off from the east, and the additional support, kitchen, laundry, some of these additional property storage then become in this kind of band section. You have some of your intake, some of your administration more in that bell that occurs on the east side. Again, you've got your inmate corridor across here for your housing units. And then you've got on this section here, so sheriff's operation, sheriff's office, all the various functions, the state police, emergency management, all those folks, garage. And now we've got some additional courts operational space on the main level, too. So you've got state attorney's space, and you've got court services space here off your main secure lobby. Again, keeping all the existing, even though we are tying in access, but we're keeping those departments basically as they are. The reason we're tying in access, I should explain that too. So part of the question for the group is, for a discussion point, I should say, from a certain user agency, how often would you screen people coming into court? Every court day? Every court?
If it's there,
proceedings, and then screening. If I have some domestic relations cases or protection orders, then I call the sheriff's office and say, "Hey, I need a I need a deputy for security in the courtroom. And that's generally a judge's call, but for all criminal court proceedings.
We're typically seeing more and more where this is a 5-day-a-week, 8-hour man position. It's not an occasional. We're seeing more and more facilities where it's man. In this scenario, because of the proximity to this accessible back exit, public are now all coming through here. Whether public are coming to see your county boardroom, or whether coming to the courts, the public's coming to the courts, everybody's going through the same central secure scanning access. So just so we're aware, it still functions as the central point. It's not separating courts and others, because now you've created this rear access, which is really somewhat cut off from the rest of it.
So, I thought this probably wasn't an optional because of the relocation of inmates.
It's not shown on here.
Page 29 requires temporary relocation.
Yeah, I think unless you were to move that jail operations, you're absolutely right. I don't think this is viable.
So, okay.
I think we could actually nip this one. Okay. Really doesn't work. You can actually have that laid out. This amount of space and what's required here, you have to. Basically, it's one of the other options. You're building a jail down here, so this one doesn't really work. So that's D. Should we take a break for a few minutes and then come back? So I'll say one last thing. Again, we put together a schedule that's in the back of this, and the schedule was predicated just to show. First off, the study kind of wraps up. We wrap up public meetings, wrap up the study. It's early February. You know, wait till the election's over in November, and where things go, what the climate is for moving ahead with the project. So we'll show the idea of that. It takes roughly 12 months from the time that a project is started to start the project till construction documents are ready to hit the streets. It takes that amount of time. There's three phases. And this illustrates three of those phases. Schematic design. Schematic design is a period of time, roughly 3 to 4 months, sitting down with the departments, probably at least 4 meetings, and going through and laying out those spaces, the size of those spaces, locations of doors, door swings, laying out and creating floor plans that everybody agrees this works. And it takes multiple iterations. You lay things out, you go through it. So it's creating floor plans. It's creating a site plan and an elevation, so you're showing what the exterior of this building looks like, what materials it's going to be, so you're developing elevations that show the materials, the heights and the size of the building. And you're developing a site plan that shows what the grades are based on existing, how transitions occur, do you need ramps, do you need steps, and so you develop a site plan that resolves it. So at the end of the schematic, you've got a floor plan that works, you've got an elevation, you understand what the building looks like, and you've got a revised cost estimate, and you've got some other information that helps go into it. Design development is the next phase, where you actually start to integrate a lot of the engineering systems. You start to bring in a little bit more structural, a little more mechanical, a little more electrical, and you get into a lot more detail of the building. What type of glass is in that door? Is it ballistic resistance or irregular? What type of hardware goes on that? Where are my cameras going to be? What kind of security controls do I have on that? Do I have duress alarms on the bench? What's the bench layout? How does that flow? What are my sight lines? There's a lot of detail, carpet color, everything and anything. In the design development phase, again, it's another 3 to 4 month phase where you get into a lot of detail, because we're not the type of architects that go back and design this stuff and hope when you move in you like it. It's a collaborative process from start to finish to make sure, to assure that it operates the way you want. Then the last 4 months are... 3 or 4 months are construction documents. And basically all we're doing there is really, it minimizes it to say cross the T's and dot the I's, but it's a lot of detail to finalize so that when you bid it, the contractor's got all the required information to bid it without a lot of problems, and it can be constructed properly. So you have to put the construction documents together. So there's that 12-month period, and then roughly another 2 months for the bidding and award phase. So from the time you say go, it's roughly that 14-month process until a contractor is actually potentially starting it. We like to align all of our projects to start construction. We like to bid it in the winter, because normally contractors are hungrier for projects when it's February and March than when it's May or June. They have already got their plates built up, so we bid them in an appropriate time. And then we're going to break ground most of the time as soon as thaw sets in, so May some point in time. So that's when we try to strategize it. Now, the thing that the schedule is not identifying, this is why I said I want to go back and do schedules for these projects, there's multiple steps to some of these options. The off-site options, site, the auditorium site, the highway shop, and 212, this is totally appropriate. You design it, you build it, you move in. Works fine. The sites on the existing courthouse site, like we saw, it's going to have multiple pieces to it. Build out the middle of the building so you can move these people. Once they moved out, do modifications here, build this phase to move the inmates. There's going to be multiple phases to the on-site options. And it's going to be important because that's going to affect the duration of construction. Any questions on that? Yes, sir.
I don't have a question on that, but I don't know. Just for clarification, rather than I sit back here, are we still thinking about a two courtroom jury trial, two actual courtrooms and then a hearing room, or just a hearing room and a courtroom that would suffice a jury?
So the program required three courtrooms, a large courtroom that was 2,000 square feet,
yep.
A mid-sized courtroom that was 1,600 square feet, and a hearing room that's roughly 800 square feet.
Okay.
So we're going to have those. The question we had earlier, Judge, and we can talk about this later, is if we build it in custody courtroom, how often would that be used? Are we building something that isn't utilized as efficiently as it could be? And we can talk about that separately.
Meaning?
So if we, in one of these options, and I'll go back quickly, but say you built on the auditorium side over here, and it's page four, Judge. So in this option, what we're saying is we're remodeling for sheriff, we're building that, and that's the space we're potentially building.
It's
the question
service.
Is, if you build that 6,000 square feet, and we showed it as jury deliberation as well, you might not want it. In other words, we might be programming too much space over there. Maybe it's just a small in-custody courtroom with very little additional support space. That's what I kind of need to flesh out a little bit with you.
What do you mean by an in-custody courtroom? Just for hearings?
It's just for the individuals that are being brought up directly from jail.
It's a full-service courtroom for everything, but it's attached to the jail. It's straight above. What the discussion that we kind of came about from last time is, if we have a courtroom in the jail, we don't have transport people. So they can move vertically up and down, and we can backload into the court. But that's a full-service courtroom there for you to use. Would it be used for anything other than the people that are in custody? Would you use it? Because if not, and we have to move, and we're off-site, now we add the potential of, you know, a schedule delay and the additional staffing that potentially come in to move them off-site into another courtroom. So that's kind of...
Yeah. And also, at a jury trial, custody or not, the accused has the right to be in the courtroom, confront and cross-examine his accusers, listen to the evidence being presented. That's constitutional.
So this has to serve as a jury courtroom.
But I'm not sure what I'm being asked about.
If
a jury trial for somebody in custody, we do that all the time. I just enter an order saying he's to be in civilian clothes, he is not to be, or she is not to be within the view of the jury in the company of law enforcement, to give the presumption or the idea that the person is in custody. That's constitutional. If we're just doing hearings, pre-trial hearings outside the presence of the jury. I thought we were doing that by ITV.
Exactly. Okay, so then
we're still doing
okay.
Preliminary. Still
the plan. So we're good there. The other part is in that,
or we have a room in the jail where the judges would go there.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Is that this would be for situations where you don't want to use ITV. It's not a jury proceeding. But it's a face to face with somebody in custody.
So then I think it's a much smaller courtroom at this location. I think because if you're truly,
I would agree.
I think if you're doing a jury court, you're bringing them over to the facility. I think that makes more sense. To tell you the truth, that's Douglas. Douglas, even though they're not using it yet, we did basically a large meeting room that could be used for those types of court hearings.
That's Alexandria, Minnesota,
yep,
that one?
Yep.
Okay.
But the other question was, the reason it was brought up is, if there was a full-service courtroom in the jail off-site and the other courtrooms are at the courthouse, would this one be on-site be used as a full-service jail or a full-service courtroom having all of these amenities there? Is that an issue?
I don't think it operates as well. I don't think it functions as well, personally.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. It doesn't. That's why I'm thinking, again, I go back to Douglas County in Minnesota. We did a large meeting room that the judge could come over and do those in-custody type hearings without bringing an inmate over, other than a full jury court case. I think that actually works well.
Yeah. And it was interesting when we visited. I don't remember them pointing that out to us. So it doesn't sound like it was usable.
A lot of it has to do with judges... kind of mentality and their mindset on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And in those particular judges, we want them brought here. We're not going over there. And that was just... And they don't have the ability to do ITV or video ring or some of these other types of aspects. So
I don't have that mindset. I told everybody I will go wherever I need to go and do whatever needs to be done to administer justice, and I don't have that mentality that they have to be brought over to me into my courtroom. If we can do it by ITV or if I go over there, that's fine with me. Now that's my personal preference, but there's several other judges in this circuit, and two others here in town.
And we designed that one, Lee, so you had the ability right off booking, so you can bring inmates through booking. And if you remember, there's a kind of a corridor that goes to the back of some juvenile holding cells. Uh-huh. It's a public corridor. The judge can come in off that to the door into that meeting room. It's kind of off on the corner.
I think I remember that.
Works quite
well.
It
wasn't that large.
They really don't use it for that. But
as long as the statutory and constitutional rights of the accused are not affected, and the least number of security problems that it creates for the staff or the public. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, so
it helps tremendously. We're going to reduce this to more of what I was thinking, which in essence is a large meeting space. It's a large meeting room.
We have two comments or two questions.
I guess my words of thought, don't make it too small so that you can't utilize it as a fully capable jury trial. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be the large jury trial room, maybe the medium size, but you certainly want it capable. I mean, what we've seen in the past and just recently, we've had some major criminal jury trials. And the other thing, I kind of understood the question from previous before the judge got here, was if it was a fully capable jury trial room and he's over in the courtroom, would he treat that like, say, another county where, well, I know that one's open, I'm not going to go across the street, we'll just reschedule this for next week or something like that? That's the way I kind of took your conversation from before.
Yeah, but adjusting
that
how
wouldn't
how
be
they
my
the calendar.
No. Scheduling mentality that I would walk across the street.
Somebody might, though. You wouldn't, but...
I'd go wherever I'm required.
I don't think...
But this is a public service office.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it.
That ITV courtroom we're talking about, is that the third one we're talking about? Or do we have three besides that one?
This would be the third.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying, in my mind, and that's why I didn't think it worked well. I really had some question about it.
I think
you need three courtrooms separate of this kind of room. And again, if we make it more of a room like we had at Douglas, then it's not doesn't have the same cost associated with it. It's just a big meeting room.
An ITV courtroom would be nothing different than sitting in front of that big screen right there in an office like this in a secure area. I mean, it's...
But then if you're doing all these preliminary stuff out of there, would you need three courtrooms?
I think so. Yeah. All that does is mitigate the need for moving in.
It saves money with saves transport costs. So
just other than a jury trial service.
We've had both Judge Means and I have had jury trials scheduled at the same time, but we had to reschedule them, and so did Magistrate Judge Don Elsher. So this caseload and the workload and this community has grown. And so I could see a need for...
You need at least those two.
At least two. Maybe in an emergency situation for a misdemeanor case, maybe we'd have a jury trial going on with Don Elsher, too, Judge Elsher.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You'd have the two large ones, but you wouldn't have the backlog of everything because you'd have that little one for all the, like Tuesday morning stuff or whatever.
But you wouldn't need a chamber associated with this space, would you? The one that's associated across the street?
No.
I wouldn't expect so. It's really staff going over there to go through the proceeding and then leave. And the other thing that's good now, too, a hiccup in the past used to be technology. You always used to have files and things that would have to be transferred with the case. Well, now that things are electronic, it's just not even an issue.
So, to clarify, though, we're talking...
They fit in an iPad or a smartphone.
Exactly.
to clarify, make sure we're basically talking about the difference between a very small, just face-to-face inmate proceeding room versus, you couldn't have a full-up jury courtroom stuck into the jail because that could prejudice the proceeding. If that was holding a jury trial, is that kind of what?
I think we're talking about two things: a hearing room in the jail, and then a smaller courtroom in the new building or the renovated old building that could double as a smaller jury trial courtroom if needed. Or did I misunderstand the flow of the discussion?
We're thinking one courtroom over if any of the locations that were built off-site, potentially it's just this one kind of hearing room. So you're not moving inmates, but it's more of a hearing room it's definitely not
for bonds and
exactly.
Motions.
Yep. And so it's small. And but
pre-trial
all
practice,
the primary court facilities are at the court facility, is the way I'm thinking of it. Now,
court facility meaning what? The courthouse?
Courthouse.
Yeah. Sorry, courthouse.
Then we're moving everybody?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Anytime we're talking off site, we're talking just one hearing.
Okay, so.
Judicial will have to have two.
So that basically means four. But that would mean four courtrooms.
So you're talking.
The one in the jail has to have the proper technologies, has to have the proper setup to hold the proceedings, but it's not a jury courtroom.
Right, okay.
It's the same size as for a parole officer coming in and revoking somebody's abilities or sending them off or
trying to restructure. Still going to have a witness bench. You're still going to have a court reporter, clerk. You're going to have all those operations. You're going to have state attorney in that space as the proceedings are occurring. And you're still going to have those people. You don't typically, in that type of environment, have to have public, or not public, but the family. Would family potentially be in a proceeding like that? Yes, they could be if it was laid out properly.
Anything that happens in a formal court proceeding, the general rule is it's open to the public. But we don't open the ITB hearings on in custody inmates to the public over at the jail. So I don't see what the issue would be.
I know of. It's never been an issue with the judge.
And the only thing that is remotely similar is in one of these. Jury trials I presided over, I had a witness testify live in the courtroom in front of the jury, and the rest of the public was in another room watching it on ITV. Mm-hmm. So if that became an issue, I think that's how we'd address it.
I could see exactly that, trying to be able to create a remote
whether it was in, say, the visitation center or the portion of the jail, if you did have that situation, set up a TV and you allow them to go in there.
So the goal in a lot of these is to best utilize your existing facilities. I mean, that's the goal, to create the security, to create the space that's required, and to make that work. From an operational standpoint, I can look at all of you and tell you very honestly, from an operational standpoint, one of the most efficient is when you have everything together. A justice complex where you have justice functions functioning together and they're all kind of flowing together. Operationally, that makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. And as we go through some of these, we'll talk about, because you could take any of the off-site functions could work that way. Any of the off-site functions could work that way. What that does is creates a void in your existing, creates open area in your existing government center. So that's the balancing act. And I think as we get into the cost estimates a little bit more, you know, we just presented one, matter of fact, earlier this week in the county, that the county board approved the project to proceed 3-2, and it was a difference of $1 million between a efficient operation justice facility versus one that was somewhat being cobbled together to make it work. And the board looked at that and said, for that difference in cost, there's some pros and cons, but that makes the most sense. So, anyway, I think we should take a couple minute break.
Yeah, let's take
the next thing we're going to talk about, I'm going to get into staffing analysis a little bit. Maybe we'll wait until Alan. Now we can get something done. I'm going to pass these out. Sorry.
In spare.
The jail staff, currently jail administrator, allows to actually can talk to jail staff. I'm going to let you talk to the staff.
Currently, and Sheriff and Tom jump in on this, we looked at the current staffing as one jail administrator, seven team leaders, seven correctional officers, and six part-time people, which would equate to three FTEs or three full-time equivalent. Is that correct? Okay.
That's current?
That's the current staffing right now. One of the things that happens is as we clean up and work with this, because of the way the current jail is operated and some of the functions it doesn't have, one of the biggest things that comes into play is the quote-unquote control room, because there technically isn't a control room in the jail right now. That's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 168-hour post, which when you divide that by 8 or 12, it comes up to 4.23 staff, or we round it up to 5 because of sick leave, vacation, training, and everything else. 5 is the starting number for a new staff. So when we look at this for the 72-bed facility, there is the potential increase of one post, 5 bodies for that control room, because that's something they don't have there. As it grows from there, it can grow exponentially. We show that it's growing at 120 beds to potentially 34. Now, again, we're looking at this at a very high view. So we're just taking basic ACA standards and saying this is what they're applying to it.
Can you make that a little bigger on the screen for folks?
What we haven't done, and this goes back to when Bruce was talking about, when you're into schematic design and you're talking about function and flow of a facility, something as simple as making, and a question was asked at the break, where you have the two pods that look like this and two staff were watching it separately, if they were able to be turned, the two staff will still be watching it, but does it change the ratios and change the security? Those are the types of discussions that are there. We put this out as a global look-see at the staffing for what's happening. The other things that come into play is talking about on-site versus off-site, talking about transportation or no transportation, how is the sheriff going to handle assigned people at the security entrance? Is that a 5-day-a-week? Is that a 3-day-a-week? Is that only when there's courts? Those types of things have to be addressed. This staffing here takes a look at that, and it's a first blush at doing that, so some of these staff can be reassigned to another area at a specific time if need be. And if it doesn't work, then we have to identify it. But as we go through looking at what's there, we take this and we put that as our basis to work with. When we get to the schematic design and we start laying it out nuts and bolts, and we say, okay, we are a one-level facility, We need the jail administrator. We're going to have a booking area. That's where most of your functions happen for book in, book out, court staging, transportations, civilian fingerprinting for like nurses or bus drivers or anything else. All of those things happen in that area. How is that going to be managed and who manages it? Because we're in the design phase, this is a guideline that we're looking at. I don't see it going down too much in many areas. You know, once we get up to the, you know, the 120 bed, that's where your staffing ratios really come into play. It could stay at the 72. We don't know. Does that make sense?
Can you scroll down a little?
Yeah. And just so you know, in my opinion, based on the number of inmates you have, based on the infrastructure, your physical plant condition of the multiple levels with work release, I think you're really understaffed as it is for what you currently have. I think you're short-staffed. So what we did is said, okay, there's going to be a staff impact when the facility is built. What is that staff impact? Well, it's not all, you're not going to have 120 beds filled the day you open up. That's a gradual, you know, building for the long-term need. So we looked at a 72-bed facility a couple years out, figuring 72 beds, and what would the staff impact for that be? And you can see it's basically what we consider one post or five additional correctional officers in at that initial open-up period.
Along with that, though, I think there's other things that need to be assigned to that. You've got the 24/7. We've got juvenile supervision that has to be in there. And those are the types of things that, that cause this current facility to be understaffed. And it's also a really scary variable because you could have no juveniles for a month and then all of a sudden you have 10 that you have to monitor for up to 5 to 7, what did you say, 90 days one time. It's a difficulty that comes from the court and there's no way of monitoring and scheduling it. Also, when I see 6 part-time people, if they don't have an assigned staff, it's assigned schedule, oftentimes it's very difficult to pick up a part-timer on a Friday night at 4 o'clock when somebody calls in sick. It's amazing how they don't always answer their phone or over the weekend if they're gone. And it's no offense to the part-timer, but if they don't have a set schedule and know when they're working, they also have the choice to say no. And that causes a lot of overtime and gets burnout going in facilities. So as we formulate this, as I said, when we got interviewed, is when we get a design put together, we now take the staffing, and that is the beginning for the jail administrator to set his new policy and procedure of how things are going to be operated. He can then go to the sheriff and go to the board and say, we don't want at-will people. We need to have these people scheduled here so I have some control and flexibility. All part of creating the new formation and the enhanced operation of the facility. Yes, sir.
Why don't you have a food service person on the first one?
Food service would be a contract service, and most oftentimes,
I mean,
we do have one now. Right? Yeah.
Do you have full time right now?
Oh, you do. Well, we didn't know that. Okay.
Now we do.
Thank you.
Good catch.
You know, we also have it. So you really don't have an assigned control room officer, right, Sheriff?
No.
Okay.
And part of that's the problem with the facility, the structure of the facility doesn't allow.
Yeah, as far as food service, that's interesting that you have your own personal staff because 9 times out of 10, it's a contract food service that comes in and has their 3 cooks there. And it's.
Should we start with the notes down below, Aaron? Al, should you talk about the ACA standards and the kind of standard bed ratio kind of thing?
ACA, yeah. Basically, in going through the ACA guidelines, they do make a ratio recommendation of 1 staff to 36 inmates. So when we're talking about the size of the pods and people doing podular remote supervision, sitting in one open station, and it's not a control room, it's an open workstation, looking at inmates, ACA says that 1 staff can observe up to 32 people. 36 people. Then adding the additional 32 beds in the future, we talked about adding, you know, 5 staff to that. Again, depending upon how things lay out, the size of the jail, I mean, we've been talking 120 beds, if that's where it stays, you know, we'll adjust accordingly. we wanted to do worst-case scenario, and I think this shows, you know, the biggest one is when you get into a multi-level facility, we're showing 39 staff, and that potentially may have a greater impact based on how you're going to move the guys or the females from the upper level to the lower level, whether it's stairs, whether it's elevators. You know, the other thing that comes into play when it comes to the design side, do we have two elevators versus one elevator so one can haul freight and food and the other one can haul inmates? Plus, you got an elevator for public out there. There are a lot of additional costs that come in. It is the difference between a green space building and what's termed a metro site where you are site specific. So it's not a right or wrong. It's an acceptance of what the county's willing to do. It's a matter of putting the numbers out there. But when you do have a two-story building, meaning two separate levels, not just a mezzanine, you do have an implication of an increase in staffing because of that inefficiency of being vertical or horizontal, you're being vertical.
Booking can back up the housing office if you have that movement that you don't when it's multiple.
If you've got a lead, they've got seven lead people. If one of them's working and booking and there's nothing going on, that person can come down and then now be supervision of the others, moving them to a recreation area. Vice versa, at 10 o'clock at night, they're really busy in booking. One staff can probably watch all 72 that are locked up, and the other one goes to booking to assist and take care of the overload that's there. You have that working back and forth, which you don't have right now because you don't have the secure places to put them. Here is once they're locked down, most of them will be under camera. We talked about the segregation to move them in and out of a cell unit within a cell unit versus having to move them someplace. It's more behavior management than it is disciplinary management. Much safer for staff. You know, in Minnesota, we have several jails that are able to operate without a control room because they have alternates for getting in and out of the secure perimeter. May not be an option here, but it's something we'll look at as we move down the track. If we could save that position or a half a position, that saves a lot for the facility. So once a location, a quasi-design is chosen, and the county chooses to go forward, that's really where you dig in and develop your operating procedures for the staff and everybody knows. I mean, we know going in that it's going to be, you know, maybe a couple bodies more, but we don't know. It's not going to be 10 bodies more.
One thing that was interesting to me, I saw the initial draft of this, and you were kind of going with where you were assuming the current staff was
18.
Well, I think before that, even before you had a chance to talk in detail with the sheriff, it was
we had thought so it was 7 plus 14.
Yeah, we thought it was 21.
Yeah, we thought it was 21.
You just got, okay.
So we had that a long number.
Okay. Yeah, which gave us four FTE positions, which covered the 120. Yeah. That's where when we saw that, it was like, okay, you've got the right staff, and then we were corrected.
Okay.
Any questions?
Comments from
it's appropriate within guidelines. Now the other thing I want to go through briefly is the preliminary. We had a lot of on the agenda tonight, so we kind of weeded it out a little bit more. But this is some preliminary costing, and it's general level magnitude of cost estimates.
So
we need to go back and confirm some stuff because again, we overbuilt the courthouse on the remote sites,
yeah.
You need to go back and refine it. But this is a general level of magnitude, and this is how we do estimates.
So can I just to preface what you're going to say, just so you're going to see some dollar figures. It's the first time I think we've talked dollar figures in this committee, so we don't want panic in the streets or anything like that, but these are estimates.
See that word preliminary?
Yeah, I like that.
This, we're going to refine this. So yeah, what we will send you, and I would ask to give us till the beginning of next week because there's some refinements I want to make to this that we'll send back to you so you can issue, kind of put together, and you all can look at.
Okay.
But so this is option 1A, which was using the auditorium site. Now, the one thing we don't know about option 1A, oops, I jumped it around a little bit too much. I need to control my cursor.
If you hit that arrow, you might see a little bit more of your spreadsheet if you hit that up, that right above, that close up the band on the far right.
The up arrow.
Is that up arrow? No, no. Down. See that up arrow? That little... Right. Oh, you're almost there. Down. Oh, yeah. There you go.
God, people need technology.
It's like got an old dog new tricks. I like that.
Excel's
so option 1A, again, building on the auditorium site, jail construction cost, we do it by unit cost, by historical data. Sheriff's operation, this is a remodeling cost, not for a new building. The garage cost for a tempered garage, not a heated and cooled, but a tempered garage space. Remodeling an existing courthouse and what's associated with that. The in custody courtroom, again, we've got to bring that cost back down. And building that new secured court entrance space over there as well. So once you get done pulling all that together, we've added a new generator. One of the things that we'll have to look at is the size and condition of your existing generator. Actually, Sheriff will check base with you, because if it's sized appropriately, if it's not that old, reusing it would be the best option for generators.
It's not very old, and it is of more than adequate size for what the existing facility is right now.
Any idea how many kWs it is?
I do not know.
Okay.
That.
I'll verify.
Our emergency manager probably can tell you that right off the top.
Okay.
But no, Milo's still here. Milo doesn't know.
Oh, don't come on, Milo.
We'll wait if you want to go check. No. So, we have site development cost. Each site has a different site development factor, whether it's ripping up the parking lot and prepping it and some of the things associated with that, or whether it's building a bunch of roads, it has a different site factor. So again, you can see with this option, we're roughly about $9 million. Anytime we're looking at this design construction contingency, going into construction, you want to hold typically about 3 to 5% of the value you want to hold as a construction contingency. For the what-ifs, the changes, the things that happen during construction, there's a certain amount that has to be held. When you're looking at a project from this 50,000-foot level, you're putting escalation into it, contingencies into it, because it's not defined yet. The type of light fixture we need, the number of cameras we need, you know, are they going to be all proximity readers, or are they going to be keys? Those all have cost impacts. So when you're doing this level of analysis, you know, the quartz technology, are we upgrading a lot of quartz technology? What is associated with all this? We don't know yet until we get into it. So you have to make an educated guess. This is a good assumption. And there's extensive remodeling potentially with that auditorium. So we've got a 15% contingency. The goal is, this is not a low budget. This is gives ourselves a little bit of wiggle room. And you hope the project is actually bids below that. Pennington County, it just recently bid, came in $400,000.
That's Pennington County, Minnesota.
Minnesota, yes, yeah. Not South Dakota. Pennington County, Minnesota came in $400,000, under what our initial budget was. So again, it was this kind of big picture stuff. At the end of the day, it bid tighter than what we had planned. So the construction budget that we had for this option, again, we got to make sure we go through and confirm some things, was about $22,400,000, roughly. For every year, this was based on a 2017 construction estimate. For every year that we project into the future, escalation costs have been anywhere from 3 to 4%. That's typical escalation cost. We don't know what's going to happen. We know that there's some things that have happened in the correctional industry that are making competitive bidding among correctional contractors, detention equipment contractors that are critical for this, more and more scarce. It's becoming a less competitive process. So the escalation cost, we put at this as 4.5% per year, just telling everybody. So if you did the project, if you constructed the project or if you bid the project in 2018, it's about $1 million of escalation. If you bid the project in 2019, or construct it in 2019, it's about $2 million. So that 4.5 is above this $22 million number. So that shows the inflation of what that adds. We don't know the property cost. Again, you're going to have to give us property cost.
Right.
And soft cost there's a lot of things in soft cost. There is what's considered testing during construction of the materials of the project. Is it the right concrete? Are the welds appropriate in the project? There's testing. There's advertisement for the project to put it down on the streets.
You put your cursor right over
there. There's a plus, right?
You put your cursor over there. Okay.
I was trying to hide it. Architectural and engineering fees are met. What they consider FF&E, so furniture, fixture, and equipment. And again, I'll give you guys an additional breakdown to help.
So FF&E is soft. It's considered soft.
Considered soft.
Soft cost. Furniture, fixture, and equipment is in there. Again, for jail and other support spaces as well that you're having. Construction manager. If you decide to hire a construction manager versus going with a general contractor, and we strongly recommend construction managers because we see the benefit of them, their fees are in this. So there's a lot of things, and right now, just to let you know, it's estimated at 20%, because there's a lot still to be determined what goes into that. So this option, and I won't go through the others in extensive detail, I want to make sure you understood this one, but this one's $29 million for option 1A as it stands right now, without knowing the property, the purchase cost of the property.
Okay.
And that's a 2019 build.
Yes, yes. It would be down if it was a little bit lower. Okay, how do I go to the next one without... Is there a quick way to...
There you go. There you go. Yeah. You just grab that cursor, by the, grab that sidebar thingy.
Pull it down.
That rectangle.
Put it down here.
Grab that rectangle.
I got that figures.
There's Swagger now.
Just drag that, just grab that
bar.
There you go.
Drag the bar down.
There we go.
Slow there.
Congratulations.
Easy to step away from the mouth.
Okay, so this is 1B. Now, 1B, what we showed here is complete new services. And so it's about a $7 million difference from one to the other. This was moving all courts operations, state attorney, all court services, clerk of courts, all of judges' chambers, everything over into the new facility. And you can see it basically to build everything. Now, we didn't build the satellite courtroom. Now we're building everything, and it's about a $34 million project, 34.4. We're still building the new jail, and that's escalated out to, again, 2019 costs.
And Bruce, do we need to point out on the ones where we're talking about, so this is one where we're talking about the whole Justice Center idea.
Exactly.
On the ones where we're talking about just the in-custody courtroom, I'm trying to remember. We had a conversation before.
No matter where you go, it's probably about a $7 million number.
Okay, to
fix
build, up to either
build
fix
all
up
new courts.
Okay,
build all new courts. It's a $7 million. Now, the question I have to check when I have to go back and look at is how much we're spending on remodeling.
Right. That's
which I'm thinking the delta between the two, and I have to go back and check my numbers. It's roughly about $5.5 million.
Okay.
That's the delta of doing it all.
So that's kind of your construction save.
The only benefit is the perception by the public that you're better utilizing the existing building. That's the difference.
Right. And then okay.
Because you'll have expandable space in the government center. In the existing courthouse,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's that one. And again, we're going to check these numbers. We'll get it out to everybody. Option two is the highway shop, or the highway site, I should say. So again, you're seeing a new jail. It's the jail program area we've been always talking about. It's not the future jail area. It's the current jail program area for 120 beds. Sheriff's operations, the LEC garage. This was that in custody courtroom, so that'll shrink down some. It's remodeling the existing courts. That's why I'm saying, Lee, that, see, we had this $1,000,001. If that goes away because you're building all new, I think it's roughly a delta of about $5.5 million.
Really? So, yeah, no.
Because you're not doing this now.
Okay.
There's a little demolition of some existing buildings. The other thing you're not doing there, too, it might be even a higher delta, is I got to make sure it's in the program, but now this secured entrance, if you're doing off-site, you're not building here. So it could be placed to a $5 million delta between some of these. We'll verify that.
Okay. But this is the in-custody courtroom version?
Yes.
Okay. It's just so this is not a full-up Justice Center?
Yes.
Okay.
And we might on each one, it might be good on each estimate to do full or partial to see that cost difference.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing to keep in mind is that since we talked about a very small in custody court, a proceeding room, then you're still talking about three courtrooms. And
yes.
So that number is going to be a bit different.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
So
yep.
We, okay.
So I need to go back.
But this is getting us in. This is pretty rough, guys.
This is level magnitude. Yeah. This is just big picture, but it's a very good. And we went back and I actually bounced these off some construction managers that we deal with. These numbers are what we would consider very solid numbers.
as far as like per square, the by square foot number?
Historic data, exactly, okay. And where you'd expect it. Now, on a new site, that'll be another thing I point out. If you're not remodeling, we lower the contingency. That design contingency that we showed at 15%, if it's a new site, there's less unknowns. There's less variables to digging into an existing wall, to pulling up asbestos that needs to be removed. So the design contingency for most new buildings is 10%, and that's appropriate. You know, you keep 5 for construction, 5 for those variables unknown, and you're right in the ballpark. Oops.
Uh-oh.
As we go to the West 212 site, again, not much difference. I mean, the difference between the two sites, just to let you know, is site development cost. You're building the same amount of jail area, building the same amount of sheriff's operation.
Hey, Alan,
you're building. You're doing all the same things. The primary difference that we analyzed was at one point, how much road, how much, sorry about that, Al. How much road, you can see, that's $30.4 million, the other's $30.6 million. It was really site development costs. But this is why where part of those borings are going to be important. Because we might do some borings on 212 and find out we've got some bad soil conditions down there.
Okay.
That could have a big, big cost impact. So it's going to be important to look at those.
Okay.
Concept 4A, which was, again, demolishing the existing jail.
I hear some murmuring in the background. So the only Justice Center, full up new Justice Center option that we've listed here is 1B. So that's doing the whole.
Yeah.
So, but there are some variables. So these numbers are still kind of rough.
Fluid.
Because
I'm going through it, yep.
Yeah, because we have to figure some other stuff out based on what we've talked about before.
And I want to, and actually you pointed out a very good point too that I do want to bounce off is right now we've got unit cost across the board pretty consistently. The design contingency helps to pay some, but to tell you the truth, that was a very good point. If you're building off-site, our level of finish is a little bit more refined on the courthouse site than it necessarily needs to be at some other place. Again, not that you're building a pole barn, but your finishes probably are not as high-end. So, you know, exterior materials could save a couple five bucks a square foot, and that has some cost impact. Again, the emergency generator, we'll check on that, that's listed. But again, when you go through this one, so the thing on this one that we need to, we went through the Midland building today. This is the option where you're purchasing the Midland building. We don't know what that purchase price is for the Midland building. We need to get that from you as well.
Okay.
We did talk around, estimated some numbers today, but we need you to tell us roughly, if this were to be sold, what this would be. Now, the building itself is, I think, about 8,000 per square feet per floor.
8,500.
Okay, so there's 8,500 square feet, or 8,500 square feet per floor, so you've got around 26,000 square feet. Your government services only needs a portion of it. So again, if you're going to, the most efficient remodeling is not to say we're going to remodel everything, but let's remodel what we need and we can remodel the rest later. I mean, again, to be frugal with the amount of money you spend, that's the way I would approach it. So we took the 17,000 square feet of government space that we knew you needed, and we put that in there. And then not knowing whether this was going to be a lease agreement or a purchase agreement, we didn't look at the other aspects of the building. There's single pane glass on the windows. So again, most buildings we would do, if the client was purchasing it for long-term energy efficiency, we would look at dual-plane insulated window units. It's a block. It's a nice old Art Deco building, but it's a solid block wall with very little insulation. The roof's probably in fairly good shape. The mechanical system will have to be retrofitted and reworked to work for the building. But there's some shell elements, improvements that aren't in this estimate. So the cost of the property and potential exterior envelope improvements, and none of the bathrooms comply with accessibility requirements. They all have to be retrofitted. So that's $1,700,000 for tenant improvement space doesn't include some of the broader aspects that need to be done, which could be another couple million dollars. We need to go through that analysis to figure out.
On the restrooms, just for people, so we're talking like new appliances, new toilets and things like that. We're not talking about like the 1 foot step that we have in the courthouse. It's doable.
It doesn't have the appropriate circulation. Well, the doable situation, too, Lee, just to let you know, the number of toilets required is based on the occupant load of a building and the number of people using that building. You can always take a stall away and give the proper clearance required for ADA, but now you might have to make a toilet up somewhere else. So there are some other impacts that come into play that you've got to look at.
Okay.
One question. You just said it's a
brick and mortar building? I thought it was...
No. It says solid brick exterior wall. So there's really not a lot of insulation there. I think it's like a concrete and brick exterior. Some of it's granite.
Looks like it's poor.
It's all steel frame. It's all steel frame building. We don't know about the vertical expansion, just so you know. The documents they had available, I know we've talked about that vertical expansion. Other than a hearsay kind of thing, and structurally we can't go on that, but right now the county doesn't need that vertical expansion. There's more than enough space in that building to make what you need work. So anyway, there's some detail that needs to be added to this to look at that potential cost impact. 4B, which was the existing jail gets remodeled for government services, and that's where we build the sheriff's operations, new garage, everything else that we were looking at. Everything else that was shown on that. Total construction around $24 million in 2017 costs, again escalated up to 2019 at $26.8 million, and soft costs about $5 million, puts it about a $34 million project. For C, I know we're just throwing out some big numbers, and we're going to go back and confirm some of these. So this one, the existing jail is remodeled for sheriff's operations. And this is where we're building the jail next to it. Now, this was a two-story jail. We're going to see if we can reconfigure that to a one-story jail configuration. That's going to be our goal with some of these. So some of these costs, some of these options are, we're going to determine whether we're proceeding or not, whether or not we can make them operationally work well. So, and then I think 4D we decided to omit altogether. 4D was, or I'm sorry, yeah. 4D
just for was, to recap why that is, it's because
we can't make it, we can't do the phasing. The phasing can't do the just phasing will not work.
Because of the out of county requirements for housing inmates. So,
yeah, you can't. The others, you have the ability to build the housing to the west, move the inmates, and then demolish the existing.
Okay.
So as you can see, the range is right there. I mean, they're all right about there. There is a little different cost when you get to... Oops. Some of the off-site ones tend to have a little more efficiency just because of some of the remodeling and some of the high potential costs associated with some of them. Questions, comments?
Any difference in operational costs?
So, operational cost, we didn't put that together. First off, we felt there was a lot to kind of go through tonight, and there were some questions that were still open-ended. We wanted to go through the staffing information tonight before we could go through operational. When you look at operational impacts, so operational impacts is what is the increased cost of utilities on the long range of this project. And you pay, right now you pay like $210 a square foot for the utilities for the law enforcement center, and that we've compared that to other jurisdictions. It's probably going to go up some over time, so we're estimating it a little bit higher. There's maintenance and upkeep costs that are part of the operational costs. But staffing is the biggest one. So what we looked at, and Judge, one of the questions I had for you, so we've gone through jail staffing, we've talked about jail staffing. It's not as big an impact. See, when I was thinking of this in-custody courtroom, I was thinking, okay, twice a week you're going to have court at this facility and your staff and your folks are going to go and operate out of that courtroom. I think it's much less of an operational impact now. I don't think you're going over there for your in-custody kind of hearings every once in a while, but I don't see that as being a major operational impact.
For me, I don't.
Yeah.
I know Magistrate Judge Don Elsher does a lot of ITV hearings in a room just off the break room of the current courthouse building. And I do ITVs when I can. So
it shouldn't be that big of
an impact. I don't think it should be that big of a deal.
If you had to drive, say, to the 212 site or the county highway site, highway department site, would that be a big difference, say, then?
Not for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Even when we did...
Went to Clear Lake this morning, that's 34 miles one way.
Yeah. The most, from a staffing standpoint and a mileage standpoint, from a time and a mileage impact. I mean, even when we do it, and we were looking at a whole plethora of court services folks, it was only like a couple thousand, 5,000 a year. It wasn't a big impact analysis. So to answer your question, we wanted to confirm some information tonight before we finalize the operational analysis. Now, there's part of me, to tell you the truth, that would almost like to get back to another meeting before we do the next public meeting. I kind of feel like there's some refinements I want to make.
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea.
Some estimates I want to refine and come back with the group.
I would feel better. I would feel better about that.
Okay.
But how do you folks? Well, I guess we just have to start looking at some dates.
Martin's got a question.
Just a comment. The generator is 125 kW.
Oh, that's pretty good. We'll check with our engineers and see what they
check your data banks for that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
I think it's on the small side. We've got one. Well, we have two that are going on right now that are right around, I want to say 250 for a smaller jail facility. We'll double check that.
So,
but there's actually a market for resale as well. And then the question is, do you keep it over the courthouse just as backup power over there? You know, if your jail moves off, you just keep it there. I'm sorry, Lee, you were saying? Thanks, Mike.
I think we're... So, if let's take a look at it. Why don't we jump ahead to take a look at calendar items? If we're basically done with this, and please understand... that this is really rough right now, and we as we've talked about things before that, as we started talking about the specific options, we've uncovered some more stuff that we need to sort through, and
we're going to make some refinements to this and then send it out officially.
But that kind of starts giving people an idea, and I know we've all been wondering, like, what are we talking about here?
And one of the questions that came up, I think you sent out the email to the group too, Lee, is with some Hamlin and some of these other counties. What might be their level of contribution to a facility, and how is that handled? Is that a bed day rental rate, or is that a contribution for a committed number of beds?
It sounds to me like we're not quite to that level of detail yet. So just for everybody's information, so we had a couple meetings. You might have seen it in the paper. We had a couple informal meetings with neighboring counties, and it was more just to let them know, hey, we're just, in case you didn't realize it, we're talking about building a new jail, and that concerns you guys because you house inmates in our jail. And we did have one county join that doesn't typically do that, so we had our three neighboring counties of Dual, Clark, and Hamlin come and visit, but also Grant County showed some interest as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll see what happens. And it was covered pretty well in the paper, I thought. So. And the answer back to us is, yeah, we're kind of interested, but we need to know what kind of money we're talking here. So,
exactly. It's good to at least have some preliminary figures to be able to go back to them with.
And these are, so we'll just, you know, this will, I'm sure they'll get covered in the paper a little bit, so we'll make sure they know it's very estimated at this point.
Preliminary estimates.
Yeah.
And when you issue your minutes on this, we'll come back with some refined information.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, do we need to talk another dates for another meeting, you think?
I would like to, actually, if we can.
Okay, well, if people have their calendars handy. The Tuesdays and Thursdays are better probably than Mondays, I think, for most of us. Is that the case? So, the dates I see, how many weeks do you think you guys need? Maybe that's the first thing to ask. A couple weeks?
Aaron doesn't sleep, so... I think we're looking potentially the 25th.
Okay, that would work for me. How does 25th of August look for everybody?
I wouldn't be able to make that
one. No. Okay. How about the 30th?
That might be all right if you couldn't on that one. I like to keep Alan involved.
Could you conference in? I mean, we could conference you in if that would.
The 30th of August would be an option as well.
That's
August 30th. It's just a Tuesday. That actually works very well.
That's good for me. Is that good for everybody? August 30th?
I'm traveling that day, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, we can...
It doesn't work for me, no.
Okay, so then we're getting kind of low. We're getting our quorum kind of close on September.
I won't be here for the 6th either, so that's okay.
September 4th. I'm sorry, September. What am I looking at? September 1st. I mean, September 1st. That's a Thursday. Okay. No. What? Okay.
How about the 25th of August? Did that work for everyone? The majority of everybody? Did August 25th work?
It does work for me.
Okay. Just so Alan.
Yeah, I'm the only one. If
I'm the only one,
take it.
Run away. Okay, so August. And if you can...
And at that point in time, we'll not only have the plans, some additional plan kind of refinement to these options, we will have a chance to think about it. We've received the additional cost estimates. By then, we'll pull together some additional operational...
Okay, so this is kind of workshop four continued. I mean, do you have a kind of a set... I mean, is workshop four always this way, or do you just...
No.
It varies by
amount of, you know, so if we had only had two sites to review or whatever, things could be, you know, it varies on client and really complexity of project scope, really.
We're a complex bunch.
You are a complex bunch.
But we're plucked.
No, there's a lot of variables. You all see that. There's a lot of variables. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, so August 25th, 6:10, it'll probably be this room, assuming it's available. Oh, at 6:10 p.m. Unless somebody prefers a... okay.
Yeah.
Lee, question for you. Of the options that we looked at tonight... gut feeling on most people, is there any ones that you would not be comfortable with?
We should have built it 2 years ago. We would have had a lot more building for the 30,000 we're talking about again. That's what bugs me, and I hope the committee here understands that. I mean, we didn't have all of the I's dotted, T's crossed, but I mean, we were pretty darn close. And we've gone through a lot of dollars in... as far as I'm the commissioner talking about spending your money and trying to spend it wisely, you know, we've seen a lot of things that we saw last time, you know, very same things, you know, and I appreciate that inflation factor. Every time we drag our feet, it's another $2 million, you know. And that I'm concerned about the site out on Highway 20. It's going to cause the county more. We're going to have to. I can't believe that our highway department is going to fit on there with a. You understand? Because that's getting. It's going out of its. It's getting bigger all the time. So we're either going to have to move it, which is going to be another expenditure to tear the buildings down and move it, build new buildings, or that's my concern about that. So.
Commissioner, has your highway engineer had been reviewed? Have they reviewed how they would handle this?
Yeah, they know about it. We've talked loosely about, you know, their shop facilities are pretty old too. They're about as old as the jail, and so there's some talk about what should we do about that, because they're operating in a pretty rundown facility. So what, and that maybe that's, you know, we'd probably have to synchronize some of those things. So, but yeah, Rick is aware. I mean, he knows what we're up to. But so.
Yeah, that is a good point. When we first looked at this, Commissioner, it's south of the tree line over there. It appeared like some of that stockpile materials could fit over there. But you're right; it's moving some stuff. I'm not sure about their outbuildings out there, how bad they need some of those, which I'm assuming they either have salt storage or fleet storage or things like that in some of these other buildings.
So on the one hand, you have something that you probably have to do anyway, but on the other, but if we're adding to that any, you know, stuff we have to do anyway cost, then, yeah, you know, that's another additional impact for site two.
If you want this, Commissioner, the gut feeling, my favorable one would be the one across the street to the east, where the gym sits now.
Oh, to
that's
the
meet the happy medium, because people were all upset about moving it to Henry. You know, people want it downtown. This would kind of be a, you know, try to middle of the road deal. That's my gut feeling.
But with that one, we still have to be moving prisoners back and forth.
Yep.
Ongoing operational.
Yeah.
Would it be good to just have kind of the Justice Center structure option, you know, for mm-hmm. you know wherever, be it on the highway to 212 or on the auditorium?
We pretty much already have that because site one is across the street. Right, you got right. A and B.
And
B is the only full Justice Center. You just said that.
Right. No, I'm just wondering if do we want to just kind of have that cost figure out there to build, and then the variable is going to be, you know, what cost is associated with where you put it, mm-hmm. you know, as an option just to.
With option A on that one, refresh my memory, where does that give the courts any relief if you go with A on that? Because doesn't that leave all the county offices still in the courthouse, and that doesn't give the courts any expansion space?
It would just give that in custody.
Yeah, right. that's really not cleaning up our problem there.
Well, we're going to have to flesh that.
We did add some space. There is some space in the cost estimate. Okay. The space for it wasn't identified on the plan so much. Okay. Really, in that plan, really what we needed to do is, even though we had, and that was something we needed to do too, is to help you visualize it a little bit better. We needed a plan of the auditorium space, and we really needed a plan of the courthouse at the same time so you could see what those two were coming together.
Okay, so there is a plan in place to relieve some of the stress in that space.
As to your original question, how is the public perceive it or whatever, I think the big drawback is the price. Yeah. The other one is $35 million. They shot it down. This one, like you said, we're getting less for the money, but it's still up $35 million. I don't see it passing, unfortunately.
So what's the fix then?
Yeah. What's the fix?
Don't build a new
sheriff's office. Don't build new courts. Remodel the courtroom, the courthouse. Build a new jail because that is the necessary thing. But have it on near the existing jail somewhere, and probably where the parking lot is. And then use the Midland building over there. Then you have the whole courthouse for court services. Director of Equalization is a plenty big room down there. There's no pillars in the way. That would be 2,200 square feet. The problem is trying to find a design for the secure entrance area.
And you're going to be able to do all of that.
But
for
isn't
less
that
than $30 million?
That's still $32 million, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that right now.
Easily.
But you're including in that one. You had a let's see. You were going to demolish the existing jail, and if you don't demolish it, just move the jail, all the offices in there. I mean, yeah, you got the doors on the.
We were doing some sketch layouts here, and I'm having a real hard time making the jail operations and jail housing fit on that site, all in that back area, without demolishing that existing mm-hmm. building. I think you laid it out a bunch of times. There's not the physical space.
You can't use the existing sheriff's office jail for sheriff's operations.
Yeah, you can use it for sheriff's operations.
That's what I'm saying.
But you still need jail operations. You still need jail housing. And that, what I'm saying, and the goal, if the goal is to have that on one level, there's not enough space in that rear parking lot and a little bit to that west to get that all fit. There just isn't enough space there.
Well.
And so, I mean, it just doesn't fit. I mean, one of the options is to say, do we phase the facility? But to tell you the truth, you know, build the jail first. Sheriff, you know, mm-hmm. I don't think that solves it in the long run. It doesn't address your issues.
You asked my opinion, and truthfully, I mean, yeah, ideally if we had a lot of money, we could do it, but I don't think it's going to sell. I mean, and the reason is the cost. And find some way of getting it out. I could be totally wrong.
I
think when I went door-to-door in the 2014 elections, I was running for judge, I heard a lot of things. And I think the big issue was the lack of information. The doors I've knocked on and the people that came up to me during the campaign, This is $34 million. There wasn't a ballot explanation that could have been done and is allowed by law, explaining what the bond issue is, how much it would cost. And I think that was the big issue, that a lot of people didn't attend the meetings and didn't have a lot of information on the costs. And now this committee, this second time around, has looked at remodeling the courthouse,
right,
and has some hard numbers now, and it's still going to be 28 to 34 million no matter what we do. But we need a new facility. I mean, that's we need it, and I think that's the information we have to take to the voters.
I think the burden of the who's going to carry the burden of paying for it's a big issue.
Well, again,
actually, that's a good point, because I'm assuming normally where we take it after we have numbers together is meet with a bond council to have them do a bond tax impact analysis of what that potential cost impact is to a $150,000 homeowner, to a $300,000 homeowener, and or three, and to, you know, a certain amount of ag land and things like that.
And explain that.
If you care,
in a couple, in a paragraph or less, or maybe two, and what is going to be the return on the people who were the bondholders?
It's going to cost a maximum of $122,000 per thousand, and then every year it would go slightly down.
$122 per thousand.
Yeah, $122 per thousand.
Per 100,000.
That's what you're just asking.
We'll try to, you know.
And that was at 35. So.
Can I just?
And then at the maximum bond value, then it went down from
122 per 100,000.
So if you had a $200,000 house, roughly 200,000.
And when they started it off, they said it was going to be around that 120, maybe 115, and it bounced around, and at the very end, it was narrowed down to exactly 122.
I think, can I just bring this in a little bit? I think that's kind of one, that we're kind of getting to the reasons why this committee exists. I mean, the county, I think, demonstrated that we can learn from the past. And so, like what you were saying, there's more, you know, we can do, you know, a better job, be a bit more intentional about getting information out, documenting stuff. And so that's what we're doing. But at the same time, you know, people don't like the cost. People may not like the location. True. I think most people heard cost, location. And when I was canvassing, I was running in a primary a little bit before that. I didn't get a lot of people saying no, no way, but I got people saying I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Why can't we remodel the courthouse? Yeah. Why can't we move into the Midland building? Why can't we build across the street?
I did have a couple people just say.
The courthouse is in the center of the community. It's a center of commerce. It should stay there.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting.
People have different reasons.
Anyway. Once you get this information together on the costing and the options, the next public meeting will be the options and the cost.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out of the public, because you can always build less.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to build more.
Yeah.
And so if it failed, if you go out there to the public and it fails, you can always come back to the option that, okay, we're going to phase it. It's not costing you less money to build the jail, to build the sheriff's operation, expand the courts. Yeah. You're paying more over time. You're creating more cost for yourself over the long run, and people need to understand that. That's what you'd have to do.
The problem, perhaps, is if we take it to the voters again and it gets shot down again, the third time around, they're just building that negative towards it.
You know, it's like, I hate to say it, you know, it's somewhat like school bonds a lot of times. The school bonds go out and the third referendum is a charm. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but usually those are lower costs.
Lower?
Well,
I don't know about... We're in a community down northern Minnesota, a small town that's going for a $70 million referendum today.
Whoa. But around here, a lot of times they opt out.
Yeah.
And for opt-outs, and they start out maybe... $1 million opt out, and that's for operations. And then they get shut down, and they try and opt out for more.
So from a big picture standpoint, if we all agree, I mean, you've all seen it, from the court's projections, the inmate population needs, you know, the various lack of space, that 90,000 square foot program that we put together for courts, jail, and sheriff's operations, I think we all agreed to. I think you all agreed to.
Well,
plus or minus. Yeah. But the reality, Al, is you know, so do you not agree by 10,000 square feet? Do you not agree by 5,000 square feet? I trust our experience with doing this work,
sure,
and what we've done before, and I trust these folks and some of the past data that indicates to us there's a need there. The question is, how do you address that need? Now, if that area is there, and again, it's not going to vary much. It might be a million here or there. It's not like you're suddenly cutting $10 million out of a project. The only way you're cutting $10 million out is not to do an entire piece of the puzzle. That's not going to solve the long-range need.
I think you're all bringing up good points. We can maybe take this on a sidebar after we adjourn, but I think you're all bringing up good points. But the thing we have to do, it's an issue of information. I think we're all touching on, we're all actually agreeing here that we have to explain this well. And the bottom line is we want to do this as cost efficiently as possible. And when we paint the picture of operational costs a bit more intentionally than we did last time, but you know, that's just live and learn. And so I think that'll give the full picture. At least that's the goal. That's what we're going to try to do. And when we see like 20 years of operations plus 20 years bond for the different options, you'll see the true cost. So we'll see.
One quick point, though. On one thing that the sheriff and I mentioned here, so the only option that showed the full Justice Center version, as you said, Lee, is option 1B.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Which is a $5 million up. I think it's only fair if you were to add the full justice option to any of the,
yeah,
the highway department, the West Highway 212, you know, the whole 4A through D, I think we got that covered. But for options 2 and 3, I think it's only fair to come up
with
this is it sized down even more, but this is it at the bare minimum with the full justice capability. And whether you just add $5 million, I don't care. But I mean, I think it's a fair thing.
The variable is going to be the site.
The one thing that the people that were very negative from before is we never had the numbers to give the options. That was where everybody was negative.
Yeah.
We kept saying, we've looked at this. This is what we feel is it. And they kept saying, what about this? What is it?
Yeah.
If they see a chart of 10 different fluctuating options and numbers, it's not going to turn them away negative right away. Not like last time.
Yeah.
The people thought we were building a Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's...
accountability. In fact, that phrase showed up in an editorial
about 3 weeks ago. The only dollar figure they saw
again
was our end product.
I missed
they
that
never
one.
Saw
I
an dollar
that?
Figure on
I
anything
that.
Else.
Taj Mahal. Yeah. I'm gonna look at that.
I don't know how many times I heard that.
Well, I think you gave a good, really good answer to that question during the last public meeting, the Taj Mahal question. You know, why do we want inmates to be comfortable?
Yeah, it's about function.
Yeah.
And about durability.
Yeah. So let's get back to the agenda here. On number 7 there, how do those other dates look for folks? The public presentation meetings, I think, are set, but we had to adjust the subsequent. You all got the emails. It was a lot of fun trying to get everybody coordinated by emails. Almost impossible, but is October 11th okay? So we got August 25th, 6:10 p.m. Everybody but Mr. Brinkman, and
September 8th.
Then the September 8th for the public presentation. So that's we got. That's then. I think that I'll be by to pick your brain on a few things, I think, and then. So how's October 11th for a committee meeting after the public meeting? Does that look okay for everybody? I think I got some thumbs up.
The day of the week is October 11th.
October 11th.
It's a Tuesday. You're on.
Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
Well, I'm a non-voting member anyway. But.
No, if you can't make it, then...
I can make it.
Great. Okay. And then, so October 11th, so let it be written... So let it be done. And then either November 15th was bad for at least one person, and that's after, it's important to have a meeting after the election, after the November election, I think. So, and before Christmas, and before the public meeting after that. So, does anybody have any preference between November 14th versus 16th? Or
I can do the 14th, I'm traveling the 16th.
Okay.
14th's a Monday, 16th's a Wednesday.
Correct.
I
yep.
can do either one.
Same here.
14th, okay?
Either one.
Okay.
For me.
How's that look for you guys?
I'm open to that schedule. There won't be any snow then. I'm just going to do it
verify. Yeah. Well, I haven't scheduled any, so.
Yeah.
All right, so 14th.
You just jinxed us, you know.
And that's okay. And then, again, and then, I don't. We already agreed on December 6th and January 24th for the next two public meetings. So I think that's good. Okay, so we got, and then the only thing I think. So we'll have a little bit of time, if people are okay with it, on August 25th to talk about the public presentation on the September 8th. The one question I have of people is we're starting to work on just a couple more short videos. I think what that does is it allows us to explain a complicated thing quickly. And one I was working on was just our process, kind of like what you were talking about, Your Honor, just what we're calling the pre-design process. That's the architectural term, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that? Mm-hmm. And just kind of that's basically what our committee's doing right now, is what we so studying the problem and coming up with an option. A concept option, and then I was just looking at the operational costing. Maybe something I don't know if I could figure out how to do it, but as far as the staffing, something really quick. How that, you know, the structure impacts the staffing. That might. I just wonder if that might get people's attention.
The big impact was two stories versus one story.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we approach two stories. I think we've got to make a one. I think
we get asked about that a lot, though.
Well, we know so, and it, just because everybody's aware, you know. And I, Tom and Sheriff, I mean, we know from dealing with other counties, typically if you have a correctional officer that's making, whatever, $55,000 a year, you take that plus the benefit impact and potentially $75,000 a year for that employee. If you have if you're adding a post, which is five positions, five staff, and so it's a three-shift situation mm-hmm. with the two additional time off and the replacement factor and all this other stuff that goes into analyzing it, it's five staffing for that additional post. But if you create a two level, and we're saying it creates another post to make that operations, that's basically $75,000 times five, $400,000 a year. That's a long-term operational impact.
Yeah,
over 20 years, $8 million without inflation. Yeah. So I mean, that's a huge, huge concern.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I was kind of...
We just get asked a lot about build-up. You know, and we get that we get asked all.
I mean, we can leave it on there, but I think, you know, I also said that you're probably going to end up adding one or two more during the day because you've got the.
I'm thinking. I'm just thinking of explaining that. Just explaining the major muscle movements and operational impact.
So, I think operational impact would be.
And based on what you said, Lee, I think for the next public meeting, we have to leave it in there to show that building is not operationally efficient.
And so, so the or we just have a quick snippet on. Operational costs, and the big ones are transport and levels of the jail.
Multi-level.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then, based on Megan's suggestion for the last one, we got a local DJ to moderate our last one, and I already got another one agreed to do it for the... So we'll let them take turns for the next one.
I think the long-range goal is...
No. I can't.
I think the long-range goal is by the time we hit October, hopefully we've nailed stuff down enough. I mean, we got our August meeting, our October meeting probably is a September presentation, October and November. Really, at some point in time, this group should feel like there is one option that best satisfies the long-range goals. Yep. I mean, that's really the direction you want is out of all these options, the one that you feel best about proceeding ahead with is this one.
Yeah.
And because that's the one that you're really saying, this is the proposed options. We've looked at all these. This is the one for these reasons that we're moving ahead with. Because when you hit that time frame and really even the next public presentation in January or December, we've gone through all these options. We presented all the options to you based on the operational cost, the phasing requirements, whatever the various impacts are, this is the one that we feel best will work for the county for long term.
I think the like Tyler was saying, if we can matrix that out for the next, if you'd be thinking that way, maybe for the next public meeting, you know, and the criteria you put on the side of each of those is it corresponds. I mean, not it's not verbatim, but you could. But you're hitting all. You're hitting all of ours pretty much. I think it just, you know, with different terminology. So, okay. Well, does anybody have unfinished business, new business, anything for the open? I think we've had our open. Okay. So I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Would say no? Okay, we're adjourned.